Hello and welcome. It's Boss Barrel episode uno, dos. And with me this week is Andy Poppin.
Hey, everybody.
And Gene Sofer Jr.
Howdy.
I'm Griff Hoffman, and this is
that thing that we just
a podcast
said.
Thing.
Yep.
Well, I thought this was Alcoholics Anonymous.
It is more or less secret undercurrent.
Oh, sweet. Good thing I snuggled beer in here.
You're accepted here. You're welcome here. This is a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
It's going
Andy,
fantastic.
You are brimming with energy right now.
I'm super tired. I'm sorry. I'll raise the level later. We'll
Come
get
on.
Excited about something.
Oh, do some worry. Jumping jacks.
These topics that are coming up have me exploding with excitement.
We have strong feelings, I think.
I
just like have strong apathy about things.
Well, speaking of strong, any strong feelings and you know, getting things kicked off here, let's talk about games, because it's the week after E3.
Yep.
2013.
Yep.
And a bunch of shit happened.
It did.
Xbox One price announcement, PlayStation 4 price announcement.
Nintendo
PlayStation
was on
what?
Vacation.
Like $350 or $400? Was that what PlayStation 4 was?
$399 US dollars.
Oh, four.
And then Xbox is $100 more?
$499 US dollars.
Yeah.
Allegedly, I heard they were thinking about dropping it down to be competitive with the same price for PS4, but as rumor.
It's a lot of rumors. It's a lot of rumors.
That's the biggest problem I think I have with this whole thing so far, is that there's a lot of information out there from people who don't really have any clue what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of just, like, obviously they would do this, so let's make up this rumor.
Yeah, like a bunch of guys will get around a microphone and record a podcast about what they think.
Right, and then someone will actually listen to it and take it
and
believe
it's
true.
True.
Yeah. So nothing is true. Don't ever listen to anything we say. None of it's true.
Oh, God, what have we done?
Nope, don't worry. You're fine.
We're just part of the machine.
Oh.
I'm an X-Bot.
Mm-hmm.
Skynet strikes again.
Speaking of X-Bot, to praise them a little bit, they did remove the Microsoft point, and they're going straight to the dollar now.
Or whatever it is, whatever your currency is, where you're currently a resident.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry.
That was the nice thing.
That's right.
So does that mean all the points that I have are just going bye-bye? Or
that's a good question, actually.
That's a great question. I think it's going to be... That is yet to be determined if you buy
like
an Xbox
hoard?
One.
I mean, how many points do you have?
See,
usually I buy points when I want to buy something, mm-hmm. so they go away right away.
Usually
but aren't you sitting on like 372 Microsoft points like everybody else is?
Yeah.
I have like 4,000 because I was like, I was going to buy a game.
You were going to buy something. You're like, nah, I already spent the money. But
well, I have these fantastic ideas, but Mr. Alcohol helps me think they're great ideas. So then I buy points and I start getting ready to go for it. Then I take a nap. And I wake up the next day and I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I didn't buy that game. I think I'll save these points for something fun.
Okay.
What game were you going to buy with your alcohol points?
It wasn't really games. It was stupid little avatar stuff from Borderlands 2 because I had such a man crush on that game.
Well, thank God for Sleep's intervention there and saving you from that bullshit.
I was going to buy another Castlevania game, but I read up on Game Facts and it just looked horrible.
What was that?
It was like the Xbox Online.
Yeah, the Harmony of Dissonance or whatever. Harmony of Despair. Heavenly.
Gothic Super Party.
Party
Super Smash
douche.
Brothers.
How is that not the title of a Castlevania?
It was Castlevania. Yet? See, this is where I always get confused because there's Castlevania HD and there's two Castlevania HDs. I don't remember which is which. But I know that the one on the Xbox, I think, is Castlevania HD, but I don't remember if it's Harmony of Dissonance, Harbinger of Destruction,
Happy Days,
Harmony Happy Dildo,
yeah,
Heavy Dong. no more avatars with the Xbox One.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Well, it's because the camera's so good, right?
You are the avatar.
Yes, which is everybody's real dream. I mean, I'm such a perfect physical specimen and, like, really excited about having to stare at myself.
I want me in all
things.
My games, yeah.
So I wonder how many half-naked people are going to be on there.
Half-naked?
I mean, full-naked.
I wonder how they're going to mitigate that. No, the Kinect doesn't detect Wang. It does detect your blood pressure.
Does it detect like goatsy?
See you smiling. So if you can work that out somehow.
It can tell if a girl has a yeast infection.
So you're saying the Kinect 2 is the new tricorder?
Mario Doctor is going to show up. It'll cost extra.
You will get your period in 3 hours.
The Kinect 2 is always on, like it is always connected to your device. So if you are currently wearing your tinfoil hat, maybe that scares you. I don't know. If you live that sort of a lifestyle where...
bothers me immensely.
Oh, really?
It's always going to be on, always be connected, and always really have a window directly into your little man cave dungeon, rape dungeon, whatever it is.
You don't have a Kinect right now, do you? Because it's always on right now. I mean...
But if you unplug your Kinect, your Xbox 360 still works. If you unplug your Kinect 2.0 from the Xbox One, it doesn't play anymore.
I would never unplug my Kinect.
That's what kind of bothers me. Maybe it's paranoia or whatever, but it makes me think of the whole NSA thing that happened recently where there were wiretapping, all this crazy stuff, where it's just another avenue of someone looking into your personal life.
Are you talking about the Prism?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, look. If all I had to worry about is Bill Gates fapping it to me, fapping to something, I wouldn't care. I'd be like, hey, whatever, get your jollies. But I would hate for something to happen when I'm not home, and it to be caught, and then I'm somehow liable because they have video evidence of whatever this dubious act taking place is, and that can a police agency or a government agency we'll put a warrant out for that kind of information.
Tinfoil hat off your own head and put it onto your Kinect 2.
So here's the thing. Allegedly, if you cover the lens and it doesn't detect anything in the room, it shuts the system off. It's like unplugging it.
Uh-huh.
So that's fine then, right? Then no big deal.
And that's why I won't have an Xbox One. Because the aliens are coming and Skynet starts there.
I don't want them to see what I'm doing.
I think my bottom line...
I don't want them to see my stuffed animals.
That I'm doing things with.
We're having a tea party right now.
Oh, Sailor Moon.
Look away, Kinect 2.0. You won't like this.
You like turn... Yeah, that'd be really funny. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to turn your Kinect around.
If that's... if you're terrified of that, if that sort of thing is like you're afraid of technology, like I have a MacBook and there's a camera that's always looking at me. Like if I'm sitting in front of it, do I put my hand over it? Who cares? I've got a phone with a camera on. Cameras are everywhere, man.
Well, very much true, but I still like the idea that I have the maybe illusion of control that I can still go, I don't want my camera on, off.
Yeah.
And then I can still go.
You can go into the settings and say camera off, voice control off. You can turn all that shit off.
That's not a big deal at all.
Well, then hell.
I mean, it's a little complicated, but it's... Yeah.
Right. I mean, if your fear is that there are cameras everywhere watching me, then you're fine, you're crazy, and that's a valid complaint. But if you just don't want it watching you, you can turn that off.
Oh, and that's really the big thing. I work at a casino. There's cameras everywhere there.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can turn it off in the settings, I guess my entire hissy fit is void.
Just relax a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can turn it off. You can control that functionality of it.
Basically, I think a lot of people are already writing off the Xbox One exclusively on principle.
Yeah.
None of the things about the Xbox One that people don't like affect me at all. I'm going to buy one. I don't care.
Whoa! Well, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
Buying the expensive system with your fancy pants.
I have a job. So.
What makes you so cool?
That said, I actually have no idea if I'm going to be able to afford it. Probably not. But it'll be a while. But there's no reason for me not to buy it. I am one of those weirdos who, does use it as their media center more than they use it as their Xbox.
Do you have cable TV?
No.
So that is lost.
So that whole thing is useless, sort of. I mean, maybe I'll just get the Xbox optimistically. Maybe I'll get cable TV someday. But the rest of it, I mean, I do the Netflix. I have Hulu Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and now Crackle I'm trying to do. That's weird.
I want to pick your brain on the cable TV part of it. Does that feature sound appealing to you to be able to split your TV into two panels and have side-by-side applications of TV running, game running?
I think I can see situations where I would do that. But as somebody who doesn't get live TV in their house already, I don't really care.
Okay, well then what if you're like, I would like to watch Netflix on my TV. I'd like to watch the new Arrested Development. And then I'd also like to be playing Elder Scrolls 3.
That's not something that I would ever do. Well, maybe not. Elder Scrolls is a good example of one where it's just a lot of downtime.
It's schlep.
Yeah.
I think
where you're grinding. I could see. I used to do that with World of Warcraft. Grind while I was watching something else.
Okay. Now, do you have a computer? A laptop or anything? Or
that is how I've been doing it so far.
Okay. So, you've been doing like the ghetto rig of I have my TV on and I have my laptop next to me watching this, right? And so, does that sound appealing to you to split your big TV or whatever size TV you have and into two things just to have that convenience that you already had?
I don't know. It we're speaking in hypotheticals because it doesn't sound appealing to me. I don't care. But
I figure you're the only person that would actually care about this feature that I knew, so that's why I was asking.
I'm sorry to let you down.
God damn it, Andy. I thought you loved the Xbox.
Love the Xbox. I love the Kinect actually a lot. I like that voice recognition and more than the camera. I never use the camera. I don't actually play games on it. It's just cool to be able to like Iron Man your Xbox and, you know, except for you just replace Jarvis with Xbox. That should be a function. I should be able to change the activation word.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Give it time. I'm sure it'll happen.
So I could say computer and pretend I'm on Star Trek.
Foxtrot.
Or Jarvis and pretend I'm in the Avengers.
Hello, computer. Now, that does sound really appealing.
Do you do that sort of thing, that media hub experience with your game systems and whatnot?
Oh, God, yes. I play the old SNES games where in order to level up and get to the Eric Street, you got to sit there and kill the same thing about 100,000 times.
Sure.
So I'm more than happy to bust out my laptop and watch old episodes of, I don't know, American Horror Story or Walking Dead or movies, and then sit there and just roll back and forth in the same area while I'm trying to get strong enough for the ice cavern for Final Fantasy I. I mean, that does sound really appealing to have it all in one focal point where I could, you know, for instance, if it's hockey playoffs for teams that I actually care about, I could watch that. And then also grind up levels in, you know, whatever Final Fantasy game or Star, if I'm playing Star Ash and Star Ocean, like the old school games or whatnot.
Yeah. So that sports is the number one situation where I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Because watching it later is stupid and pointless. But
I mean, most of this,
but I don't care
no DVR
that much about gaming that I would be like, I must game while I watch this sports event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I understand there is a significant portion of the gaming population that would.
Okay, you Andy, you also do that fantasy sports stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do you, Gene?
Oh, no.
Okay. Where do you do your fantasy sports? What's
right now,
your venue?
It's, well, I didn't have an iPhone at the time, but it will be next time unless I have an Xbox One.
But like
next season,
what?
I'll be running my fantasy team on my iPhone.
No, I mean, like, what's your service? Like,
ESPN.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then good for you.
Yep.
Because most people who use Yahoo or one of the other
are SOL
or NFL or something like that, like it doesn't work.
Yep,
it's only ESPN.
Yep, I'm pretty excited.
Good for you, man. I mean, I've heard that functionality is really cool. Like, if you have like a player that gains points or I don't know experience or whatever monies in your fantasy world, then when that happens, the Xbox will show you what
highlight.
A little clip of what your character did to earn that new level.
Interesting.
Huh. That's pretty slick.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anybody going to buy an Xbox One besides Andy? Andy, are you confident about this? Are you a day one purchaser?
I would be a day one purchaser if I just had like cash to throw around, but probably not just because I'm not that much in a hurry. I'm not like 12. I was a day one purchaser of the Wii.
You were. That's right.
I was.
Right.
I slept in a car and like in front of a toy store. No, and like I was sitting. I remember sitting in a beanbag, smoking a cigar in front of a Toys R Us at 2 a.m.
I hope like, those children hated that cigar.
Big like CAO Brasilia.
Yeah, there were no children there. It was just
a
sweaty grown man.
Yeah,
sweaty grown men and soccer moms.
It was winter. It was not very sweaty.
Okay. But they were still sweating.
Balls shriveling.
Yep. That turned out well. So, only 2 years.
The idea of turning the camera off, which was one of the other, I guess it was a main issue with me, but I hear also that the Xbox One is supposedly not backwards compatible. Is that the same regarding
PS4 though?
Like the three, it's not?
No. Yes, that is correct. No really? Systems are backwards compatible at this point except for the Wii U.
I thought
only the Wii U loves you.
What is
the Wii U is your best friend.
The Wii U does not love the
There's
internet.
There's no DRM.
The whole idea of
you
me
can play
to
your
buy
Wii games.
Like the whole appeal of the PS4 is I guess I blows the wind out of my sails. Like, hey, I'll get that. I'm going to download a couple other games I've been watching people play.
It really does. Like, yeah, you have to repurchase everything.
Really?
Well, screw that.
But you also own a PS3. I mean, you can just, like, plug in the PS3.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to get rid of your old system to get your new system?
Well, no. I mean, I was looking at it already, getting attached to the network and downloading the games that I don't have. Because, long story short, my PS2 is now my little nephew's and all that stuff is gone. So I was looking into buying, like, getting attached to the PlayStation Network and having all the games access to it. Now, when they say it's not backwards compatible, like, you can't put
up in the air.
Like, you can't put a PS1 disc in there and it will not work.
Okay, so there is no hardware backwards compatibility. Like, you can't put a disc in any of the systems from any previous systems and have them play. So if you have an Xbox One, you can't play Burnout. If you have an Xbox One, you can't play Halo. If you have a PS3 or a 4, you can't play Suikoden 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or I don't know.
This guy is the one I'm having a big crush on.
Yeah.
As I understand it, also, if you have purchased Halo 3 on Xbox Live,
yes,
you cannot play that on your Xbox
One
yet. I'm sure that you will eventually. You may have to pay for it again, which is stupid.
That seems very bunk.
That is the most bizarre thing, and that's the biggest wrench in the system right now. Where it's like, really, like I have this game that I purchased online through your service.
Computers,
how come I can't run it?
Talk good to old code.
Yeah, if that's the case, then
but,
fine.
I mean,
that's
what they're going to say. I don't know how true that is. I'm sure. Well, you know, you're Microsoft. Like, come on.
Well, come on. I mean, the hardware gets crazier.
Run an emulator.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Xbox 360 shell on your
both
Xbox
systems board. Are. Oh, son of a bitch. They're two systems, and both of them have cords.
Yep.
They don't have like a CD drive or CD slot to put an actual hard disk in there. I'm assuming you have to plug in something like a USB port or something, or do they even have that?
For what?
Like you said, they do not accept good discs at all, right?
Well, they
no old
accept
discs.
Xbox One discs. They just don't accept anything
so there's still else. There's still devices that play current gen.
Also DVDs. Or Blu-ray. Do they say they have a Blu-ray player?
Blu-ray.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the funniest brush under the table thing.
Yeah. Sorry about that, HDTV.
what I was going to say was both systems going forward are utilizing their previous like Xbox Live Arcade or Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. So like your profiles and all that stuff will move on forward with you into the next generation.
Oh, like but talk
which,
about
that doesn't make much sense.
Yeah,
right?
I don't get it.
Like Nintendo has dealt with this poorly, and this is the first opportunity that Sony. And Microsoft, well, I guess Sony for the most part, but Microsoft only, like, barely on the cusp of whatever. Like, I don't even know if you could purchase anything on the Xbox One, maybe maps or something like that, on the Xbox.
That would transfer over.
That was
over.
On Xbox Live, yeah, that you'd bring over to Xbox.
So.
I can't, as much as I know people hate the Apple company, why don't they do what they do? When you buy something with your iTunes account, you can play it on any or run it on any of your iPad devices. Where if I download a movie on my computer and I'm at work and I'm thinking, wow, I really want to watch like, you know, Alien Spankers 2, I can download that right there and not have to pay for it because my account has already marked that as, hey, you bought this, this is yours.
That,
I mean,
that's a great question. Why would they? That makes sense. Why has Nintendo never done that ever? Because people pay for that shit over and over again.
Hey, you know, I understand that you can pay for it over and over again. And believe me, I have many of the Nintendo games that are on my Wii. And I thought, you know what, it's a lot easier just to have it on my Wii, pay $6, get it over with, and be done with it. But if I have to sit there and buy it over and over again and not transfer it between devices, that's whoever decides to do that first is going to be like, I'm like, guess what, I'm buying your shit now.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's supposedly what PlayStation or Sony's Gaikai services is going to be where going forward, all of your things that are purchased digitally will remain on their cloud servers, and you can pull that purchase down wherever you go. And Xbox is the same way.
Yeah, like, that's something. Weird. It's already sort of doing it.
But it's already there.
Yeah.
Like, no word about old games, just current games. I don't know.
It's weird.
Part of the reason I really even want to get one of the new systems is I want to be able to have one singular database where I can put all my old games and play them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not excited about...
You don't get that yet. I mean, that is still in the cards.
Like, I was looking at a PS3, like, should I get that? Because all I really want to do is download a bunch of the old Final Fantasy games, Suikoden's and Disgaea's, and just spend the next 5 years of my life trying to, like, you know, play every little conceivable detail of those games. Or should I just say, hey, I'll buy the new game now and then download those again? But if that's not really a prudent option because it's not going to be compatible or there's going to be some kind of weird error, I don't know.
I think you're a fringe case. If your desire is to play old games on your new console, you're looking for the company that has the best service for that, that's just a matter of time. Like, in the last 5 years, that's when that sort of a market developed. You know, this was never a thing before.
Right. Up until PS2, nothing was ever backwards compatible. Like, never. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got your NES and then you got your SNES, and then you can't stuff the same cartridge. It's when we moved to discs that everybody was like, well, this is also a disc.
Right.
But it's not anything like the same.
Right. Well, and the PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2 was completely accidental.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a fascinating story. Just in terms of the hardware, a chip that was used to control, like, the disk drive on the PlayStation 1 was brought over to the PlayStation 2 to control the disk drive, and that just so happened to have enough pieces in it to run PlayStation 1 games. Huh. So they're like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, like, the backwards compatibility is a big issue with me, but also it's the idea of, like you said, a media center where you have access to, like, I spend more time watching YouTube now.
Because you do lose all your movies, too.
If you bought any of those.
Yeah, like, if you were...
Well, that I don't know. If your, like, Sony Unlimited account still is...
I don't know about Sony. I know that Xbox, at least as I understand it, you're, like... What it was... I'm blanking on Microsoft's...
Zune Marketplace. Zune.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so, Zune Marketplace.
I mean, you shouldn't ever have done that. You should have bought them on Amazon.
It's your own fault.
Zune's, like, still around?
Yeah, you should be using a third party for that. But if you bought a Zune on the Zune Marketplace, you bought a movie, I don't think you can play it on your new one. I could be wrong. Maybe that was the
exception. I don't think that's a feature that's been discussed yet. I think a lot of this stuff is still up in the air as to, like, how much of what you owned previously will be transferable into the future.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you...
Because, like, Gene, you raised early on in the show, where does my money go?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question.
You know, if you have cash, does it say, okay, we're going to take your profile and your achievements and move only those forward with your friends?
Does the Xbox 360 still use Microsoft points?
Here's a thought.
That's
the
other question that I have.
Back in the concept days when you bought something, you got it. I mean, you got your CD, you could sit there and do that CD. When you got mad and that CD didn't work, you could throw it against the wall and explode it in a billion pieces. Now it feels like you're not even buying anything. You're buying for the right to have access to their data.
That's exactly what you're doing.
I mean, that's what you're doing before, too, technically, but I'm with you. I like having a thing.
Yeah.
I like things, too.
I like buying a thing and having it in the tangible world.
Yeah. And also, it's more than that. It's the scope of what you're actually buying is getting smaller and smaller without you actually realizing it, where with a CD you could copy it, you could put it on, you know, in safe places or back it up. So if you ever cracked that CD, you didn't have to buy another one. You already had another copy of it, or you had... Like the old games, like Diablo 2, you had your access code, or your whatever it is, the CD thing that allowed you to have your account.
Your CD key.
Yeah, your CD key, where you could sit there and have access. You could use other people's CDs to get access as long as you had your CD key, because that was your proof of purchase to do whatever you wanted with it.
That is actually a solution.
Well, that's kind of exactly what Microsoft is doing.
Yeah.
Like with the Xbox One, you go out, you purchase your disc, you take it home with you, and there's a code with the disc, too. You put the disc in the drive. It downloads like a PC. It installs that disk to your hard drive, and then you put in your activation code that says, hey, this is mine, and then you're going. It's yours forever. You still have the disk. You still have the code. It's just after that, what can you do with it is if kind of destroy the question disc, that's still
can
floating.
Can somebody else bring their disk and have you like reinstall it? On,
yes.
And then,
oh, yeah, that's a fantastic idea to help fight piracy and all that stuff.
Yeah. Andy, you were kind of alluding to the fact earlier that both of us would be very anti Xbox One, and I love the direction it's going. I am going with the PlayStation 4. Right, I've actually pre-ordered my PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
The only argument I'd
because
have,
it's cheaper.
Also true.
Is the honest truth.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's cheaper. It plays games.
But what about Halo? You saw that Halo trailer.
It
was cool.
Yeah, but it was cool. But it wasn't the game. I wanted it to be a Zoids game. But it was a Halo game. Looked cool. Wasn't Halo 5, though.
I thought it was.
Wait. What is it?
Wasn't Halo 5.
It's Halo whatever because they're a new company now that's running them.
Well, I mean, Halo 4 was by the same company, 343 Industries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They showed the trailer and they said it's going to be the new Halo game.
Right, but it could be like fucking Halo whatever.
I think they're just dipping their toes in the water to be like, do people want Halo 5 right now? Or do they want giant robot mech battle Halo that's not Halo 5?
Right. Monster Hunter with Master Chief.
Oh, man. I'm in.
Yeah.
As long as it plays nothing like Lost Planet.
Exactly. Thank you. Okay, let's think about, is there another new intellectual property you're excited about exclusively on Xbox?
Titanfall.
Yeah?
That was how the Xbox One press conference ended. And goddamn, that Respawn game, the guys who did Call of Duty, essentially, left Activision, made their own company called Respawn Entertainment, and Titanfall looks awesome.
What about that?
So does Quantum Break. That's right up my alley, too.
It looks like a weird new direction that'll be interesting.
And it's tied in with a really poorly acted TV show. Like, this is 100% me. I love it.
Yeah.
But is it enough?
But is it worth for like $700, $600,
$500. Is it worth $500? Yeah, sure. Like, if the Xbox One, if at E3 they said, and the Xbox One will be $599 US dollars. $499 US.
We are dropping points in favor of dwellers.
And then the PlayStation 4 said, on our system's going to be $499 US. I would say, okay,
I'll buy a PS4.
I'll be getting it. Right. No, I'd be getting an Xbox One.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
But right now, as an early adopter, I want to get the
the
cheapest of them, because it's $100 less. Prices will go down eventually. And, you know, besides maybe two titles, there's really nothing that's pulling me in the direction of Microsoft. Plus, I kind of want to be a spectator with this. I want to see where it goes. I want to see what the policies are going to be. I want to see, like, how will the online infrastructure work? 24-hour dial-up to validate my games is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's too short.
Right.
I'm not a pirate. I'm not going to steal games. I don't have a problem with dialing in for every 24 hours. But 24 hours is too short with my internet. You know? My internet here sucks. I can maybe get, you know, 2 up, 0.5 down, or something like that. It's bad.
Oh.
And,
really? Wow, that is really bad.
Yeah. So, if it stutters for a second when it's doing that trade-off,
update,
like, what's going to happen?
That's a great question.
Would it bork my system?
I imagine that it would fail and then try again in 10 minutes.
Who knows, man?
That
like, it's a brave new frontier of craziness that could completely destroy your system.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're a pirate, banned.
We'll see. Yeah, that's a good question.
So, I mean, this Sony PlayStation 4 is a safer choice. That's why I pre-ordered that.
That's true.
The Xbox One, I think, is a really cool system. I like the premium nature of it. I like the industrial design. I like the features that it has. I'm not going to, you know, try and crack it, and I'm not afraid of the camera. Like, whatever. Watch me, bitch.
It's the policies about it that bother me the most.
Yeah. I agree, and that's part of the package as to why I'm going to go with the PlayStation 4.
It's the thought of having to always be connected, to be basically being a consumer for their product. And I've loved Microsoft for the longest time. I've consistently chose them over PS recently when PS3 was new, but this, it just bothers me. I mean, they side heavily with this. They want to destroy the used game market, which, hey, you know, I can understand their argument with that, but they're punishing the consumers for that rather than going after the people that are making all the money.
That's what's weird is that they're destroying the garage sale used game market. They're not taking out GameStop. They're working with GameStop.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
Like, with selected retailers.
Right. That's what that means. That's what it means. GameStop and GameFly are going to be fine.
No, I mean, it's GameStop, but like, what is it? Target, Best Buy, Walmart? Are they going to be included too? Probably. But
none of those guys sell used games.
Best Buy does.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. That's true.
I think Target's teetering on the brink.
Everybody else, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
that's
you're
what's
right.
weird. Is
like
that
the mom and pop shops of like, hey, check out this old game that you can buy for way
gamers.
Too much.
Or
gamers.
Or eBay. Like the places that are full of people that really
Amazon
love those games and love passing on those games. Or internet's eBay's, Amazon. Anybody who wants to actually have, when they buy something for $80, get, you know, $20
have
or $30
value,
back.
Have tangible value that I can then reallocate.
And I think
right
now,
buying more games.
Exactly. Yes, that is the fact that so many people are scoffing at the moment is like, well, I mean, if you take away the used games trade-in, because supposedly people use that to pay for their new games, but really, will that affect anything? Oh
yes.
My God, I think you know, give it just from being a dude on the street, like a lot of people.
That's how it
go
works.
To GameStop, buy a new game, trade their that old new game in for the next new game.
Yep. I don't know how many times I've ended up shackling in like six games to get $30 off of a new game and thought, sweet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, what are those drug dealers out there going to do?
Exactly. If Microsoft said, hey, mail me these games and we'll give you, you know, 20% value on them and move towards another, I'd be like, hell yeah,
that would
take
be
my
fascinating.
Money.
Now, supposedly, that's something that they're looking to do. Like, it's not mail me your thing. It's you invalidate that code that you have.
Uh-huh.
So what registers every 24 hours, you say, okay, I'm done with this license. You can have your game back now. I can't resell it. I won't play it anymore. It's done. Then Microsoft can turn that, give that back to them for X amount of dollars.
So what we're looking at is really a long term. We're looking at GameFly. Except for they keep your money until you want it back. Do you know what I mean? I mean, essentially, it's a long-term rental service. You're renting the right to use this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you may keep it forever. Fine. You may rent it forever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want, you can get your money back later.
That is...
Allegedly.
That is the optimistic goal.
Yeah.
Like, that is what if you... There's so much mixed messaging coming from Microsoft that it is kind of hard to tell. But if that is in fact to be believed as true, then I think that's great. It's just I don't want to be day one with that because
I think that's
it's
totally
going to be
fine.
A shit show. You know,
yes.
In
shit
maybe two,
blizzard.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a shit typhoon. In a few years, it's
backed up toilet of knowledge.
In a few years, everything will get evened out. It'll make sense.
Yep.
And if they do the right things and the market does grasp hold of that, then that's great. I mean, keep your system in your own system.
Yeah.
Or open it up completely. I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it because, like, that's the opposite of the Microsoft mentality, right? Like, open system, closed system. Microsoft, Apple. Yeah. Sony is completely open system. Microsoft is completely closed system.
Right.
Weird.
Kind of bizarre.
Nintendo doesn't know what's happening.
And Nintendo's just like,
it's really getting sad. Like, I'm just, Nintendo, no.
You guys gave us Mario's, and now you're like in an alleyway drunk with a hobo.
It's really
what
sad.
What about Wii Fit Trainer
they do
Lady?
Not.
How about Wii Jerk It, you know?
They do not understand the internet. I don't understand how they don't get it.
You're talking about functionality and online presence
and how
and
they've
stuff.
Just been left behind.
Yeah.
And I also don't understand the like insistence on having subpar graphic. Like, I just don't get it. I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing in here? Like, come on.
Well, I could.
You blew it.
I don't think you necessarily need like super awesome graphics to make.
Although,
fun
games. I mean, it's been like that since the GameCube.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the DS. I mean, that makes huge sales and has great success. But I agree completely with the internet. Like, why can't they seem to see what's successful with these other companies? You know, even like the little like mom and pop no name stuff, like Good Old Games, where you can have access to this stuff and just fart out a Wii U. God, that system bothers me.
I mean, think of it this way, though. Like, Nintendo kind of lives in their own little vacuum of, like, we make our system and we make our games for our system, and we are the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need third-party support. We don't need these other people to come in and bail us out. Like, they're completely self-sustained, and they've always been that way.
Yeah.
So now they have these other players in the market that, you know, contract out to third parties. You know, they have a lot of other studios that, that they have to sign exclusive contracts with, whereas Nintendo is all in-house, and they've always been that way. You know, well, I guess for the most part, but yeah.
That's what the golden seal is. I mean, really, you know, like, seriously.
This Nintendo seal of approval?
The Nintendo seal of approval.
Well, yeah. Like, stamp of approval.
That's why, in fact, that mentality is why Nintendo succeeded when Atari failed.
Mm.
It was because Atari did just let people do whatever the hell they wanted and put out E.T. and...
Eh.
You don't think so?
There are workarounds to get around the Nintendo seal of approval.
Sure.
Essentially, the seal of approval means...
I'm not saying that everything as a publisher that Nintendo puts developer, out is like really good.
You can only put out so many games at a certain amount of time.
Uh-huh.
And Nintendo needs to take a look at them. So if you're a smart studio, you have a spin-off studio that makes the games that you want to put out too, and money comes back to you, but they're just shit games.
Uh-huh.
So, huh. Seal of approval is kind of bullshit.
It is.
But... at least having control over your device is a good thing, and curating it does make sense. It's just now, when you have these other big players, does Nintendo still really fit in with them? Or are they on their own little world? Now, with the Wii came out, like, yes, they were in their own world, and they succeeded extremely well capturing this new audience that no game company has ever touched before. But... the lightning isn't going to strike twice there. Like that, right. That's happened exactly. Once because the Wii was demonstrable as a waggle thing that you can, that anybody can play because you throw the bowling ball at the screen. Makes mm-hmm. sense, right? The Wii Pad, the Wii U Pad, you're like, what? That's like a fucking etch sketch. Which one do I look yeah, at? What am I doing? I can touch it? How come I can't touch it with two fingers? Like, it's there's too many variables with the Wii U that just don't make sense, and it doesn't appeal to gamers. It doesn't appeal to the casuals. Like, they're missing their market. The only thing that it does appeal to is the standard
Nintendo fans.
Yes.
Yeah, which the people who are like gonna buy Nintendo because they want to play the next Zelda.
Yeah, the same people who are buying the same virtual console games on their new virtual console system, even right. though they bought them once already and they have every copy of everything. Like, it's that same fan base.
Yep.
And that's what keeps Nintendo afloat, because they've done a great job at capturing that market and creating that brand loyalty. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you can't compare them against, like...
It just
like,
means that they're going to die eventually.
I mean, or those, they'll survive. It's those, one or the other. Like, yeah, well, they'll either change. Be the Kokoro... The Karakaro Village, the cockroach at the end of the apocalypse. Kakariko. Hylia. They'll either be God at the cockroach at the end of the village, at the end of the village radiation explosion, or they'll die off early, and the other two monolithic companies will destroy them. Like,
I think Nintendo has an enormous fan base that are loyal and buy their products, but it doesn't feel like they're catering to keeping that fan base happy as well as incorporate new fans. I mean, it's with the Wii U, not Wii U, with the Wii, it was huge to have that interactability and make it very simple. It was like what with the iPads and iTouches came out when it was basically an MP3 player that was so simple that anybody could use it. That's what was so awesome about the Wii. Now we have the Wii U, which that still baffles the hell out of me. I don't understand. You use your Wii, but then you use the Wii U and...
You don't use your Wii.
There's too much Wii going on there.
All right. Speaking of Wii, Nintendo has some other interesting practices that I'd like to hear your thoughts on, gentlemen. Recently, Nintendo was approached with the prospect of shutting down, people do Let's Play videos, which are videos of gameplay of video games on YouTube. And
right.
YouTube has... a system in place that can check for content and see if it belongs to another person that isn't the poster. So Google approached Nintendo and said, hey, there's a lot of your content on our service. Do you have any interest in shutting this down and locking it down and removing this content? Because we do that for movies. Is this something you'd be interested in? Nintendo said, no, We don't want to block the content completely, but what we whichever direction this suggestion came from, Nintendo ends up saying we will take the revenue generated from the Google AdSense from Nintendo video. So Nintendo games that are put on YouTube that have Google AdSense attached to them, Nintendo gets a profit instead of the original poster.
Oh, that's such a bad idea.
Terrible. Terrible.
Even just from, like, not even, like, from a whatever infringement of other people's our right to share crap. Just the fact that if I'm not going to make money off my video game YouTube channel that I, like, use to make money on, because people do that, if I'm not going to get the money from the videos I'm posting, I'm not going to play Nintendo games.
Okay.
And if I'm not going to play Nintendo games, nobody's going to see my Nintendo games being played.
I see.
They're making themselves disappear.
You're approaching it in terms of, like, Nintendo should be using this as free advertising
strategy.
Yeah, free advertising and grooming their clients.
Right. They should be trying to make money off people watching, and they should be exciting that people are watching.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's my biggest thing. I was like, I don't think, like, whoever this Nintendo person is that said, oh, we'll just take the money from these people doing these videos has shot them so hard in the foot that there is a bloody stub there, because it's such an enormous amount of free advertisement that they're going to lose out on. I mean, where you're going to have all these people who generate a little bit of money or whatever income they get off of this, and then they realize, I can't play any Nintendo game, so I guess I'll be playing other games. Because a lot of these people who play through these games, it's no longer really about that they're playing a Link to the Past game or a Mario game. It's because you've grown attached to watching this guy fumble his way around in these video games. You're not really concerned what video game he's playing. You're just more interested in watching him fumble his ass away through some game. And if that game looks fun, hey, I'm going to buy that. That's probably why I'm so interested in trying to find some way to play Disc Guy, because one of the guys I watch play video games is playing that, and it looks a lot of fun. Unfortunately, with Nintendo going that way, I'm probably not going to see any of their new, you know, products on there at all, or even their old products, if people are just going to start getting rid of that because they don't want to lose the ad revenue.
So you think that the prolific people on YouTube are making enough money from these Nintendo game videos that now that this is in place, they're going to stop playing Nintendo games, and you're not going to have that ability to see these games anymore?
Details well enough. I mean, I don't know how much of an impact it would make. If they're taking all the money.
Yes, all the money. All the money you would make from a Google AdSense.
So I don't, having not ever really done that, I don't know how you make a living doing it.
It's based,
and how popular you have to be to make a living. I mean, if you're big enough, you can do it.
Uh huh.
But I don't know whether that's like the top five people on YouTube can make a living doing.
Well, let's say it's enough to pay for the game and right. the system that you're. Let's say you're breaking even, like. You get the cost of the game, you get the cost of the things that you use to record it. Like, all that is getting covered in the end of a year.
And I think that, I don't know about it. I don't know, but I bet you that's reasonable.
Say you make $300 in a year on it.
I bet you that's reasonable.
I would say that many of these people make considerably more than that. There are several, like, YouTubers that I watch play that, I mean, that's their income. And they produce quality videos with quality... Life. With, you know, quality, you know, products and quality of videos where you're actually seeing, you know, and enjoying that whole aspect. But to take, I mean, let's say, I mean, if 60% of your revenue is coming in from you watching or having goofy, you know, showing goofy exploits of, like, you know, various Nintendo games, and suddenly 6% of your income is gone, you're going to immediately either A, get rid of those videos so that people that subscribe to your channels only watch the videos that generate revenue for you, and start producing videos from other companies that don't have that ridiculous, you know, theft policy. It's insane. It bothers me greatly, because most people that watch these people play through these games, it's not a mystery how Link to the Past ends, or Zelda 1 ends, or Final Fantasy 1 through 15,000. Right. Want to watch that character go through that game.
Right. And I mean, the legal kind of argument that's being discussed right now is, like, because video games are
interactive. Yeah.
Because you're playing it and recording it and talking over it, does that mean you're changing the experience substantially enough to make it its own thing than if it were you were just silently playing the game straight through, like a walkthrough, essentially? So, like,
right.
I mean, that delineation is dumb. Like, why would you have to make that? But here's what I
think it, You go first.
Okay, I was going to say, this is how I think of it. It's like music. You know, if a band creates a song and you're a cover band and you play that band's music, like, should you have to pay that band to be doing that?
Technically, yes.
Now, if you want to, if you're just like, hey, we like being in our garage and we like playing this, like, Sum 41 song, like, mm-hmm. okay, fine, go for it. Now, right. let's say you go to the local, you know, you go music to the open venue. Mic night
yeah.
and everybody's there and on Mondays and you all play and you know, you're getting tips and people are buying your CDs, which you've recorded Sum 41's Fat Lip album, but now it's the Scottish bagpipe version, grunge bagpipe. Is it wrong that you are taking that person's creation and although you're playing it and you're adding your own twist to it, it's not original. Like, what?
Well,
is anything owed back to that original creator of that thing?
I think the distinction is about how the audience is participating.
Okay.
In that the audience is participating in the same way if you're playing a song than if somebody else is playing a song. But the audience for the YouTube video is not playing the game. They're okay. They're not the ones interacting. And I guess I thought that that's what the difference between video games was, between movies and music, was that the art was in the experience of interacting.
Mm-hmm.
And if the audience isn't interacting, then they're not experiencing the content. They're experiencing somebody else experiencing the content.
Okay.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, the video games, it's the interactive media. You're in there, you can sit there and play around. And granted, you have a pretty much straight like plot line or story that you're going to have to go through eventually, but how you get there and how you go about getting there can be varied so much that you're essentially creating this completely unique and new thing. Where in regards to music, yeah, you may be playing a Sum 41 song, but if you're yodeling it upside down with, you know, a leotard on, Sum 41 I don't think really should be getting some of that money if you're out there in the leotard upside down and you learn how to yodel their song, as long as you said, hey, this is Sum 41's original song, this is how I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're still giving credit to the artist, so that mm-hmm. somebody wants to hear the original or buy the original or play mm-hmm. through the original, it's not a mystery. Whereas I think that Nintendo here is looking at this like, I mean, any kind of thing that's created off of somebody playing through our game should simply be ours. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is that the YouTube viewer is watching a YouTube video, not playing a video game.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I had not thought of it that way, as an interactivity trumps just watching. But I also think that you are taking somebody else's creation and you are publishing it on a free service to millions, billions of viewers. Like, I think there is something to be said for people who take that video and host it themselves and exhaust their own funds to be able to kind of create that and then make a revenue based on their own marketing and their own sales and their own advertisement dealings.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going through Google and YouTube, everything is preset up for you. Essentially, all you're doing is being your own dumbass self and putting your stuff up there, and everything's like, you are getting money literally for nothing. Like, for just having eyes on your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that belongs. This is where my stance is. I don't think that money belongs to the person. I think that the Google AdSense stuff, that person does not deserve it. If you are putting content up that belongs to somebody else, what if you put a trailer up for the new Mario game and you get a gazillion views before Nintendo does?
But that's different.
Now that's trumped it. Like, should you get the ad revenue from that?
Absolutely not.
No, because that gets taken down. That's okay. Intellectual property. You're sharing intellectual property without the consent. You are letting somebody experience as if they were experiencing it from the original source. An example is, okay, you've YouTubed yourself blowing yourself up with fireworks, and you mm-hmm. got a lot of hits. Do you owe money to the fireworks company?
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, or, you got me.
Or you fell off a ladder and you got a lot of hits. Do you owe money to the ladder company? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do know what you mean. I'm just thinking heavily, like, yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean,
Because what we're watching is a video of you falling off the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we're watching a video of you playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Does...
We're not just watching the game.
Right. Whereas if we're watching a trailer, that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're watching where we would be watching. We're experiencing it as the artist intended
gameplay.
Without their consent.
So, okay, I have a video on YouTube. And in that video, I have a bowling ball and a television set.
Mm-hmm.
If I were approached by the companies who own the bowling ball and the or who distributed the bowling ball and television set and said, hey, your video has somehow made 1 million views. You need to give us all the rights to that Google to the ad revenue that are coming from people watching your video
right.
that you made using our products. Now, in by your definition, where you say, would I have to pay the fireworks people? Would I have to pay the ladder people for that?
Yes.
Like,
I think that they would take your ad revenue
because I am using a product that is owned by a company in a way that was not designed for, that is not asked for permission beforehand. Like the freedom of the internet, I think gives people a lot of license, fake license to do whatever they want and think it belongs to them. Just because I make a video, what if I take a video of the trailer on my. Like,
well, here's a question.
If I go to a movie and I bootleg a movie in the theater, but it's on my own camera.
Uh-huh.
I've done my own framing. I have my own secret quiet commentary and popcorn eating there. Like, now is that mine? Because now it is, it's different. It's not the original thing.
No,
like,
no.
I've added my own stuff to it.
Because you're watching the actual video.
That's actually a really good question. That's a really long debate. Like,
you're watching the same video under a different means. There's no interaction. We're not watching the channel to watch you. It's watching the channel to get a sneak peek at a movie you're not supposed to have access to because you haven't paid the right fees or licenses. It's the difference with playing the video games is that it'd be you. For that regard, if you're
so okay, Mystery Science Theater, should they have to pay the license to do what they do?
I think they do.
They do.
They do.
They pay a cheap as fuck license to do it, and that's how they get to do it.
Right.
Because they've gone through the legal channels to do that stuff.
Well, then the question, I guess, let's take it off the internet.
Yeah.
Do I owe Bach money because I'm playing their trumpet?
No, because technically you've licensed it from them by purchasing that equipment.
I suppose.
Do the other people in the room listening to him play the trumpet owe Bach money?
No, because they have paid a fee that is like it goes back to you are the that's good. No, you're right. Yep, no. Do they owe Bach money because they're listening to you play a Bach thing?
It makes me think of what the music industry started doing when on iTunes, for example, that they're the organization that wanted to make sure artists got every single cent for every single song that everybody listened to. They wanted to start charging people or charging iTunes to listen for that 60-second play, which is ridiculous. But I understand the regard with it that the artists should get paid for their product, for what their creation is, and that these companies, these Nintendo companies, should get paid for all their creations.
Mm-hmm.
But where does that line get drawn where they are getting paid for someone thinking about Nintendo? Like if I write, I think Mario is cool, do I have to pay a license to actually use the term Mario because that's their character, or but Mario the jumper?
That's easier to answer because, yes, you would. Like if you... Yeah. If you wrote a long essay in college about how, the character of Mario is a racial stereotype and how he has destroyed the brains of millions into thinking that it's okay to be racist against Italians, like, and that was your thesis,
right.
And then you took that and you published it into a book too, or
yeah,
something like that, like, mm-hmm. As soon as you start making money off other people's stuff that they've copywritten or created, like, that's when it becomes a problem.
What you're making money off of is looking at that other person's creation.
Mm-hmm.
What you're selling is your thoughts about that creation, which I understand that, yes, you wouldn't have these thoughts without that person creating that, but that sounds like a pyramid scheme that never ends.
But, like, my question is, why do you have to profit from it? That's where I ultimately come to. That's my ultimate question.
Griff
about
doesn't
this whole
believe
Nintendo
that these people deserve the money.
I don't think they deserve the money.
And that's the legit. I mean, that's where you're basing your entire conclusion off of, which is totally valid.
I think that if you want to make money off somebody else's work, you need to contact them. You need to go through the standard legal procedure of asking them for the permission. Negotiating some sort of contract, even if it goes that far, at the very least, just say, "Hey, Nintendo, I'm going to use your shit." Like that is where it needs to begin. If you're going to take somebody else's thing that they've made and then use it for yourself to make money, then you've entered into a territory that is legally complex. If you choose to not make any money on it, then fuck it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I see how that makes sense when put it that way. And I can see how a lot of these is basically come about because of accident, because so many people were interested in watching other people play through these video games that suddenly, you know, somebody's getting like 10,000 hits every, you know, 2 hours watching this guy play a game that suddenly they're generating money for. And now this is the big, weird gray area where Nintendo is probably the first person to step up and actually throw a legal elbow at it. I feel that,
well,
the way that they're going
not.
About it.
There are other companies that have done this too.
Well, they completely removed Access.
They haven't removed Access.
This is the first video game company.
No, video game companies. I have videos on YouTube that say this is third-party content. You cannot get ad revenue from this. There are forced ads on it. This is what I don't like, is when Google says this is third-party content.
They have to make money off
it. It has to have ads on it. You can't take them off. You will be making money off this, and it will not be going to you. That's what pisses me off.
That's interesting.
But, I mean, I'm also using YouTube as a free service. I pay nothing for it. So be it.
Ugh, this is awfully gray or just complex.
I mean, here's the solution for those people who have those Nintendo games. It's get your own fucking hosting service, create your own thing where people can get eyes on, create a website where people can go to view your videos that aren't on YouTube, and then from there, contact Nintendo and say, I have your games here. Mm-hmm. If you do not want me making money on these, come get me, and I will take them down.
Right. That's a bit, this is a really long conversation that's been happening for like 30 years. Longer than that. This was like, we had like 4 days on this in my music and politics class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I still...
It comes down to what you qualify as a unique intellectual property.
Okay.
At what point does this become not yours and it becomes something that I've done?
You know, not, I mean, the original owners. You've changed it enough to make it something new.
And that's where everybody argues all the time. Like, is this the same thing with sampling in music? Like, mm-hmm. At what point did Vanilla Ice owe Queen?
All the time. Forever.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the cases. It was for sampling Under Pressure.
Any rap music that's been written in the last 10 years.
But his argument was that this is a unique... artistic product. Mm-hmm. This is a new song. I've taken elements of other people's songs, mm-hmm. which is in some effect what every artist in all of history has done.
Sure.
So it's, I have no answer. It depends on how much money you're making. Really.
It's the Creative Commons thing. Like, how far does that protect the artists? Like,
right.
Do you have the rights to the thing that you're making? Are you changing it substantially enough? And will the government step in and defend the rights of the users? I'm guessing no.
My personal line, I think, I think it's very clear to me when it changes mediums. I don't believe it's I'm saying, if I made a song that was referencing somebody else's song, that's fine. But I'm making a video, then I owe them money. But mm-hmm. I'm making a video of me interacting with another art form.
Mm-hmm.
It actually would be a lot like me making a video of an art museum,
mm-hmm.
and then the art museum wanting money from my video.
Like if you went and you took a picture of the Mona Lisa and then you tried to sell the Mona Lisa?
No, if I videotaped myself walking through the Louvre.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm interacting with the Louvre in the way that they intended. The audience is not. It's not. That's not as good an example as like the ladder or the fireworks, because you're still watching somebody and you will be watching in real life too. But with a video game or a ladder or a fireworks, I'm watching the video game. I'm watching the fireworks. I'm watching the ladder. I'm not getting blown up. I'm not pushing the buttons. I'm not falling off the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a transference of medium.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. That I love it. Yeah. No, that's great. I support it.
Okay.
I support it, next. But I also say if you're going
to... You don't have to agree.
No, I agree. Like, your logic is sound. I shouldn't say your logic is sound, but that way to view it makes sense to me.
Right.
Like, when you put it through that lens, it is it's fine. Like, that seems really cool. Like, if someone were to take my podcasts and take them and put them on a website and charge for them and make money off it, would that upset me that somebody's doing that?
What if they took your podcast and put it in a video game?
If they took my podcast and put it in a video game?
That'd be sweet.
This is all hypothetical. Obviously, it would be horrible, but like, but what if, or what if they made a video game? Well,
like, they transcended the medium, as you would say. So it's like, right. Let's say somebody takes this podcast and like does a theatrical play of it or something like that.
Right.
Like, or does like a YouTube video of little shitty flash animations or something like that. This is where it would come full circle back to the beginning, where it's like, Nintendo should just accept this as free advertising and knock the shit off. Because if somebody was doing that for me, I would be thrilled.
Right.
Now, does Nintendo, how much money are they making off all of this? Is it really substantial? Probably not, but I can't say.
In the grand scheme, compared to a company as a giant as Nintendo, no, it's not. But it'd be enough for like one of us to be like, hey, I don't have to go to work. I just have to I have to make six more videos by the end of this week.
Right. Essentially, the whole thing is Nintendo looks a bit dicky.
Yeah.
Oh, they look a lot more than a bit dicky.
They look dickish.
Yes.
I just always, it just makes me feel like it's like Nintendo, every time they interact with anything internet related, it seems like it's like the first time they've heard about the internet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like somebody comes over and they're like, you could make a lot of money off this. You should check out that YouTube.
Yeah. Like, what is YouTube?
I just feel like Nintendo is just like really like polite, nice, old, elderly man who's like, you know.
It is Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, he's been there painting his beautiful pictures and doing all this fantastic stuff. And then, you know, like 80s guy comes in and is like, hey, bro, you want to make some quick cash? Well, check out this thing. It's called the internet.
Yeah.
You can make tons of dough on it. And then Shigeru Miyamoto is like, oh, okay. Okay, I'm interested. And then it's like, all right, man, we just monetize this. We flip this switch. We tell Google, like, go stuff it to all these other chumps. And then,
80s guy.
Bam!
Backwards Ocean Pacific hat.
Yeah. You're a millionaire! So, I don't know. I mean,
blank check. It just reminds me of blank check. I mean, that was in the 90s, but it was...
How much money would you write on your check? $1 million. The most amount of zeros I can think of.
All right, what's next? Do we have another topic?
I mean, I don't know. What else do you guys want to talk about? I think we covered most things.
It's true.
Obviously, we've solved this Nintendo problem.
Does anybody want to talk about other games that they were excited about at E3? Besides whether they're Xbox or PS4?
What was the game where you had like the iPad where you could have that? Where you were playing the game with the controller, and you also had you could link up with your
Tom
iPad
Clancy's The Division.
That's what it was.
I don't know which one you asked about.
I don't know.
Game. Is this a joke? Every game?
Never mind.
Was it every game?
The Herpadura game.
Smart Glass.
I actually think that Nintendo probably feels fucking stupid now that Smart Glass. I mean, Smart Glass to me is the correct answer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Smart Glass is. I think Nintendo did it better with
really
already
you
putting
think they
that
should
pad
have a
in
dedicated
your hands.
Peripheral.
Put it in your hands already.
Like, but yeah, I already have my iPad in my hands.
Yeah, but not everybody does have their iPads in
that's
their hands.
That's true.
And I dare you, Andy Poppin, go play a video game with your iPad in your hands while you're playing that video game. It does not work.
It does
well.
Limit the way they can use it.
Yeah, it's even effective at like an
but
RTS.
But it's an investment in the future.
It's super cool if I'm not playing a game.
Right.
Or if I'm playing a shitty game.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
That's true. It's very much not about the gaming experience. And
it's not
about
the hardcore.
Yeah, it's about the media center. That's cool.
I think it's cool,
so
but Smart Glasses is here right now. I mean, I can turn on my PlayStation or my Xbox 360 right from this room.
Yeah, I do it too.
It's slower than it is to grab the controller.
It is slower right now because you have to like connect. And
it takes forever.
Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Yep.
But it's just
I
nice
only do
to
it when
power.
I want to use the keyboard. That's
oh yeah.
Like when I have to type something in,
yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, Smart Glass, this is better.
Yeah, it's a lot of tiny little plugs filling one giant hole, and it's like you made that hole yourself.
Yeah,
Microsoft, we would have noticed it wasn't there. But you started shoving all these little corks up it, and now it's apparent that this is a problem.
I think that it's as touch screens become more ubiquitous, it is going to pay off more than the Wii U.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But so I feel like by that time, you know,
Xbox might be gone.
Yeah, we could all be dead.
Yeah. It's an investment in the future. They're taking a risk.
Heirlooms.
And saying, everybody's going to have a smartphone eventually, right?
Right.
And they're doing that with a lot of things with this console.
Right. Connect broadband internet. Uh-huh. I mean, cable TV is kind of in the wrong direction, but, you know, that's a thing.
Like, I feel like the Wii U was designed to be appealing now.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Xbox One was designed to still be appealing 10 years from now.
Like, future-proofed.
Yeah.
Like, we can't predict what people are going to be looking at their Xbox on in the future. So
I think that was let's very leave much the door in the open. Forefront of their mind. Because, and I think everybody was sort of baffled by how long these consoles lasted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because they started incorporating,
it
like...
was 7 years, right? Was that how long it was?
2006 or 5.
So 5 or 6. 7 or 8.
Yeah, 8 years.
Yeah. Which is super long. Usually they last 3.
Right. This is the longest console generation ever. We've seen internet. I mean, freaking firmware updates. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Microsoft has gone through several front ends. I mean, remember the Blades?
Yeah. That's true.
It's been a weird time. Remember when PlayStation 3 didn't have trophies or voice chat?
And I think they're really, really excited with how they pulled that off. And they're like, we can do this better. We can be more prepared.
Yeah. I mean, that's what designers at Microsoft have said, is they're like, who could have predicted it's going to go this way? Now we know it. Now we're going to do it all right at the beginning.
Yeah. So we'll see if it works. We'll see if they're right. I think it's much more gambling involved with these consoles right now than...
I think so. I think is as much as I kind of demonize the Xbox One, I like the thought process that it is... a very wide frontier with that device, where it's going to have a huge amount of flexibility with a Kinect and whatnot, where it being as sensitive as, I mean, who knows what future games where you may not be interacting.
I'm really excited to see what happens to that, because it is super powerful.
Well, I was already...
The Kinect?
The Kinect.
Well, now you have claw thumbs.
You have claw thumbs.
You have mitten hands.
And you have a pulse. And, like... temperature changes and shit.
Yeah, except good luck having a beard.
I'm curious to see how sensitive it is. It could be really, really, really cool if it works.
I remember reading a couple of
stories.
That's
kind of
about
just
how...
the story. I mean, that's
is the story of Xbox, though.
Yeah, yeah. That has kind of been their...
It'll be really, really cool 3 years from now when they... Yeah.
Right. Seems cool. In actuality, it does. The Kinect doesn't see me in my room.
Right.
So
they fixed it. They say they fixed it.
Well, hopefully they did.
Yep.
I just like the idea of having to interact with 3D objects with your hands. I mean, not even necessarily playing a game where you're looking at, well, like at a science. If you're looking at like a molecule, you can actually grab it, expand it, turn it, twist it, and just really...
Minority Report.
That has to be the next thing. It's got to be somehow generating tactile feedback.
Haptic gloves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pitches.
Mm-hmm. It has to be, right? I mean, like, what else do you do?
You don't do haptic gloves. You do brain insert plug. So I feel like I am actually touching it.
The next controller is going to be a headband.
Yeah. So instead of simulating the actual resistance or touch by wearing a dumb bodysuit, you just jam a spike in my head so I feel like I'm doing it.
I hope video game viewers sterilize that every single time between
what?
Cheeto
They're not going to have to show a spike in your head. They're going to make a little headband like Gorilla Grodd.
I'm fine with either. Give me the bodysuit of haptic feedback or shove the spike into my head so I feel
they already have. Have you seen that headset that you can use to think it different images into existence?
Uh-uh.
You can like there's a cube that projects and you can think to move it.
Huh.
Yeah. They can sort of do it.
How does it... I've seen a lot of those things and I assume they're mostly just like gimmicky where they measure your pulse.
But it's just a bunch of electrodes around your head, I think.
Okay.
It's like one of those net hats or something.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's super hot.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Future isn't pretty.
I think it's actually for sale. Like, I don't know.
Oculus Rift.
I'll find it. I'll Facebook it.
Are you guys interested in that at all? Oculus Rift?
I'm not familiar.
3D, or it's like goggles you put on that's like virtual reality. Like, it's too... stereoscopic screens in your eyeballs.
That sounds
cool. You put the goggles on and head tracking, like however you move your head, it takes the place of the controller or the camera movement
cool.
in the game.
I'm down.
Sounds interesting.
It's there. It's great. It looks, there's stuff out for it.
I guess I kind of have an issue with closing myself off from the rest of the world. But
like you don't do it enough?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be weird to talk to your friends. Like play a game with your friend, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't be a problem. I'm old. I'm getting older.
Wait, like, oh, so you're afraid that you, like, you have your dumb head glasses on and the Kinect is, like, taking a picture of your handsome, studly body and you're just like, hello, friends. This is
no,
me.
I just feel like
it's Night Andy.
I feel like it's watching somebody play a game on the like, sitting next to him on the couch is something that happens a lot.
Oh. So you think it would be too weird?
It would be too isolating.
Let's meet in the virtual reality.
Or yeah, like, hey, I'm playing a game. Do you want to put a headset on?
But now the couch is always there. It's not watch me. It's like, let's go play it together.
Yes.
In the virtual couch.
Right.
Let's pick up these virtual controllers. A lot of people's
girlfriends are not going to want to play Resident Evil with them. But I mean, if you don't get me wrong, you should dump that girl and find one. But
fuck that bitch.
Greener pastures.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
You want to wrap it up here? I don't know if there's any games we want to talk about specifically.
I can't think of anything really that I'm good. Super excited about.
The Halo ish.
The stupid Centurion thing looks stupid.
Yeah, it's Rise.
Yeah,
it looks the least appealing. Nobody's a car guy here.
I'm excited for Forza 4.
Oh, okay. Andy's a car guy. Any interest in Spark touchpads? And
no,
nope.
I don't think I saw it.
It's Kinect. Give me forests. No, make it tundras.
Oh yeah, that looked really cool.
I think it looked
really
cool too.
I bet it doesn't work as well as it does. Yeah, it's cool to be able to be like a god.
Yeah,
like in
Kinect. Give me butts.
Didn't they say give
me
lots
of butts?
Didn't they do that? Like really? Goggles. Give me light. Okay. Or like, let's you know, change the terrain and like up, down, yeah. All around.
Yeah, that's right. Flatter butts.
I'd be interested in watching somebody play that game maybe once.
I would too. I think it's a fascinating tech demo that seems like there's a lot of cool possibilities.
Yeah, SimCity will be really cool maybe someday.
Anybody excited about, nobody cares about Titanfall? No? Okay, I'm the only one.
I can't think of, I just don't remember it.
Shooting dudes in mechs, ejecting from mechs.
Yeah. No, I'm
sounds
down.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw
Did you guys
that.
Watch the other press conferences?
I don't think I... No, I didn't watch anything else.
Only the Xbox?
I haven't yet. I watched a bunch of trailers, but...
Okay. Project... Or how about the Bungie's Destiny game? Do you see any of that?
That does look interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better Borderlands?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's anything like Borderlands, you may as well sell my
Excited
soul
for Thief.
Now.
Really?
Excited, yeah. I mean, we'll see how...
How about The Witcher 3?
I'm excited for South Park. Yeah, that was
a
good trailer.
One.
Did you see that trailer?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
I like that. Like coming out this holiday season, or you know, like a holiday season. I don't know. You know how big it keeps on. Like,
it's been a lot of years in the making that game. It looks good
funny.
Though.
It looks hilarious.
I've heard that it is the way that it plays is it is an adventure game, like point and click adventure, and then you get into like Mario RPG style RPG battles with. Button presses that make the combat go better.
Huh.
Yeah.
What if that game, like, what if it ends up being revolutionary? That'd be really funny. I mean, it's not going to, but that'd be really funny if South Park changed gaming.
It would
like
be.
GoldenEye on 64 did.
Yeah. What if it was like GoldenEye or Halo? Like we had Halo, we had GoldenEye, we had Little Big Planet, and then we had South Park.
First was Mario 1-1.
Yeah.
Then it was South Park. The stick of truth.
Mr. Hankey.
I think it looks like a fun game.
Hope it comes out someday.
I don't really expect a lot because
Duke
it's
Nukem.
Obsidian.
Right.
So we'll see where it goes. Anything else from the show that perked your guys' interest at all?
Hmm.
Don't really remember any of the other conferences since you didn't watch them.
Yeah, I did.
Nintendo, you watched that? Smash Bros. Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and Super Smash Bros. For 3DS?
That is something that would get me to that console.
Well, it's there. 2014, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Starring Mega Man as the new character.
Okay.
Really?
It looks amazingly good.
I believe it.
Villager from Animal Crossing and...
Who gives a shit about Animal Crossing? Who actually plays that game?
I do play it a lot. It's really
like
good.
Hard?
I've been playing it hard.
Okay.
We Fit Trainer Lady is that's the other new character.
A new character or like a new like trophy person?
No, she's a character you play as.
Huh.
We Fit Trainer.
Fascinating.
Yeah, she looks... It is hilarious.
It is an example of where Nintendo's games have gone.
No, it's just saying like, hey, this game's supposed to be fun. Stop taking it so freaking seriously, yeah. You weirdos.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody play in Final Destination or Gray Fox and turn all items off. You're doing it wrong. Stop it.
That's true. God, I like that game. Sorry.
Okay. I think we'll close it up here. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
I have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
Gene hates Nintendo.
No, I don't hate Nintendo. I just think that their decision on YouTube is this giant... Bleh. You're giving up so much free advertisement and pissing off all of your loyal fans and pretty much destroying the reason I watch YouTube nowadays.
But you can still watch it. It's still there.
I know, but I want the people that make videos to continue making videos.
People will still make videos.
Well, they will kind of suck if they don't have to actually have a real job like the rest of us.
But then it's just free market, man. Like, then now you'll find other people who have jobs and can play games, right. Too. They can do that.
Yeah. That's mind-blowing.
I know, right? You don't just have to live in a basement and only play games to be good at doing game stuff.
Yeah, but that means they're really strange or good at it, or both.
Then so be it.
I'll have to find that Medicine Man gamer.
You're going on a spirit. Well, that concludes this spiritual journey into Boss Bro episode 20. I don't know, whatever. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. It's Boss Barrel Radio, the second half of the podcasty thing. I'm Griffin Hoffman. With me this week is Jeff Brewer.
I'm a red-blooded American.
And James Scherer.
I'm a blue-blooded original Pokemon Blue owner.
That's the best Pokemon to have is blue.
It's blue.
Blue the Pokemon?
Blue the Pokemon.
I was Bulbasaur. I was Bulbasaur all the way.
You know, in retrospect, Bulbasaur sucks a lot.
Yeah, he does. You're a bad person, Jamie.
You are.
Why?
How dare
Why?
You affiliate yourself with that Pokemon?
Did you guys catch Peekablu?
I've caught Peekablu once. I went to the walk-in clinic, got a little shot, and they took care of the Peekablus.
Wow. Is that something that happens like in the Midwest area of this nation? Where are you from again? Canada?
Yeah, essentially. It's all this. Yeah, it's like a big funnel just away from the coasts.
He's from the place where people eat fried butter.
Yeah. Yeah, we invented fried butter here.
Speaking of Pokemon, Jeff has a limited edition Pokemon 3DS
that he
bought.
I do. It's really cool.
Is it the Pikachu one?
Yeah, it has a Pikachu, and he has camera holes that look like nipples.
Oh.
I recently bought a 3DS, and I wanted to make it, like, unique because I'm a tool. So what I did was I made a stencil by myself that was a Space Invader, and then I bought all sorts
That's
of,
original.
Like, exactly. And I bought all sorts of sprays, and like, I researched it, and I spent, like, 2 days basically spray painting different layers on. And then the day finally came where I was going to peel the stencil off, and I went and did it. And not only does the stencil come off, but also the design just peels off as well. So like, 3 days of work down the drain.
Man.
But luckily, it's fine. There's no marks or anything. So
how awesome is the plastic around the XL? I love that plastic.
I just love that system. I think it's fantastic. I'm having so much, like, I play a game on my computer, and like, I have to worry about like graphics and settings,
drivers,
and updates, drivers. I have to be sitting in front of a
nachos.
I have to make sure all my porn is off.
Bitcoins.
McAfee security scan.
I love that system.
Yes. I install McAfee first on all of my systems.
Well, that video was so ridiculous.
Griffin, we have to show you this video that I found on the internet of John McAfee explaining how to uninstall his software.
Okay.
Featuring a lot of almost naked women.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was going to ask, does it involve him like running away in a Corvette or like stealing everybody's money and investing it in offshore oil funds or something?
It does involve bath salts.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, man. I feel like if it weren't for video game culture, we wouldn't have terribly awkward videos like that.
That's great. From business people. I'm excited to see it. So you both own 3DS XLs?
Yes. Do you have the OG?
What's that?
Do you have the OG, Griffin?
Yes, I have the best blue day one ambassador 3DS.
Day one, 2016.
What's the day one Xbox version or whatever?
Yeah, I got the launch edition of the 3DSs.
Dude, right. So do I. I just transferred it. I system transferred up to my XL, so I'm like an XL ambassador.
I was an ambassador, and I sold it because I got mad at it, and then I like felt bad that I was mad, and then I bought a 3DS XL.
Huh.
So, I love that thing. I don't even commute anymore. And I find I would just play it all the time. It's fantastic. I got Donkey Kong. That's great.
Yeah.
Jet Griffith, did you get that?
No.
Did you play the Wii version?
I haven't played the Donkey Kong game. I have not. Nor the Wii version. No.
Jeff and I have differing opinions on this game. I think it's fantastic. I was a big fan of the originals, all of them. I played them on the SNES. And I think this captures spirit of those. It's people say it's equally hard.
Uh-huh.
And I played the Wii version, and I think that it's this game is much harder. It's much more challenging, which is why the 3DS version, where you have the difficulty option, is great. I'm actually playing it on easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a ton of fun. I love that game.
So my question about I have a question for you. Here's my question. Donkey Kong games, have they changed?
This is a little different. I mean, like, you can't switch between Donkey Kong and Diddy. Like, when you get Diddy, he's just, like, a health buff and, like, a jump buff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, when you get Diddy, you can just hover a little bit when you jump. And it controls a little differently, and there's a couple new inputs. Like, you can pound the ground, and you can crouch and blow. which is really the story of my life.
That's what I was doing in the airport bathroom yesterday. Crouching and blowing.
You gotta go, man.
Yeah. So I feel like I really am starting to come around to it, and I'm really starting to enjoy it. But when I first started playing it, the controls felt like a little sloppy and loose to me, honestly.
I did not get that. Did you get that on the Wii or on the 3DS or both?
I think more so on the Wii. Yeah, on both. Because on the Wii, you have to, like, use the
Hey, speaking of sloppy and loose here, second question. cultural question, since you were making fun of my Midwest origins. What do you guys call, like, a ground beef with barbecue sauce in a bun?
Sloppy Joe.
Yeah, Sloppy Joe.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, right.
What do you call it?
Well, I call it a Sloppy Joe as well, because I'm not a crazy person. But here, people call it a loose meat sandwich. Which I think it's pretty descriptive, right? Like, accurate.
It sounds like a sex move to me.
It sounds like the bodies
she
I see.
She gave me
in the
cock
ER.
Trout, and then I got the loose meat sandwich afterwards.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
The three of us should share a loose meat sandwich next time we get together.
I would love that.
It might get messy, though. It might get
sloppy.
It
always does. Sorry for that interruption.
No, that's fine.
You just gave me a nickname for next year's cadaver.
Yeah, so Donkey Kong's really good. It's really hard. It kind of feels more like the first Donkey Kong. If you're like an aficionado, then you know that the first Donkey Kong feels completely different from the second and third one. Would you agree, Jamie?
Yes, the first Donkey Kong, as in Donkey Kong Country, feels totally different than 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I feel like this game doesn't feel like Donkey Kong Country or so 2 or 3.
It's maybe that's why the no other Donkey Kong game has ever appealed to me, is because I like 1 and I've never ever had any attachment to any other Donkey Kong game.
Mm.
See,
well,
I loved
1. I was sorely disappointed but enjoyed 2 and 3, and I love this game. I think it's great. I think it's a little I don't like some of the placement. If you're a completionist, it'll drive you crazy. I watch YouTube videos to find a lot of the secrets, but this seems to be the way Nintendo is going. Like on New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U, it's the same thing. Like some of the coins, like I'll play the level 5 times with my girlfriend, and the two of us together can't figure out, you know, where this thing is, and you have to watch YouTube videos.
See, I feel that the coin placement in the Wii U version, in New Super Mario Brothers Wii U is actually quite good. I find it relatively intuitive. Like in the ghost levels, it's a little troublesome, but the one where it was really bad, and this is true of both New Super Mario Brothers DS and also the 3DS version. On those versions, like the placement of the coins, like you'll go through a level and they'll be somewhere in the level, there'll be a hidden brick that you have to hit and make a vine pop out to get one of the coins.
Yeah.
And that is bad level design. And I think the reason is because they have like their juniors working on all the DS stuff, whereas they have like the core team working on the Wii stuff. Like I've never had that problem with the coins on the Wii version, I feel.
Well, there are definitely on New Super Mario Brothers Wii U. What a long name that is.
Yeah.
There are definitely star coins you get by hitting invisible climbers. What do they call them?
With the Wii U version, isn't there that like secret replay thing where you go cash in coins or whatever, and it shows you where secrets, like you purchase basically hints in game?
What?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Hints? There's
no.
You are blowing my mind.
Wait, you guys are messing with me.
No.
Like you take your coins in New Super Mario Bros. And you take those coins and you go to some castle thing and you're like, hi, I would like a hint on this level. And it shows you like how to get one of these coins.
Wait a minute. That might actually be a thing in one of the New Super Mario Brothers, but I don't think it's that one.
Which one are we talking about?
It might be the 3DS one.
No. False.
I mean, if it's on the Wii U, I've put a good 30, 40 hours into that game. I haven't come across it yet.
I don't know if it's on the Wii U, but the Wii... For New Super Mario Bros. Wii, I think, has it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Wii
yeah.
U, I have... Okay. Fuck off. I don't know.
I was going to say, for all of the hidden vines in the Wii U version, they're all like signposted really well. Like the coins will point to them.
That is true.
If you're like a Mario fan, or not like a fan, like if you played all the Marios, then you know pretty well. I don't know. I haven't had too much
time. So what do you get when you get all the coins?
Nothing.
Well, no, you get
this
an extra
is the
world.
Hollowest nothing ever uttered.
Oh, really?
No, you get an extra world at the end.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's okay. Why you get them all. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. You get to feel like you didn't fail. You don't feel good. You just don't feel bad.
Yeah, you're back to zero. Reset at zero.
The thing about Mario games is that usually if you collect all the shit, you get a reward. Like that's pretty much always been the case. Mm-hmm. So they actually incentivize collecting all the shit. That was what was so awesome about Galaxy 2. How when you had to go collect all the extra stars and then you got the ultimate level.
You guys probably talked about this, but I'm curious to know from last week. How did you guys react to the new 3D Mario game? Just real quickly, because I don't want to make you rehash what you already said.
Get Mario!
Yeah.
What?
Cat Mario.
Are you guys as excited as you were for Galaxy 2? I am not.
Well, I'm not either.
As somebody who doesn't own a Wii U, still not excited.
Also, he doesn't like the Galaxy series because he's.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. No, I academically respect it. It's just like it's not fun for me.
That's like me with GTA.
You know, that's kind of just how Mario games have been forever for me. It's like, this is really awesome. I just don't enjoy it.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Do you like 2D Mario?
2D Mario?
Yeah.
Like, for example, a 2D Mario that came out recently or no?
Yeah, the new ones, like Wii U. The New Super Mario Brothers Wii U.
Well, I don't have a Wii U, so...
You don't have a Wii U?
No.
What, do you have the one for the 3DS? The 2D one?
Nope, hated that. I did not, where it's like, now Mario's big. It's 1-1 again, but he's big.
Did you play 3D Land for the 3DS?
Yes, and I liked that game.
He liked it.
Yes, I liked that game.
I liked that game. I didn't love that game.
Yeah,
I did like that game.
Jamie, you and I are on the exact same page on this. I was not entirely enthralled by it.
But I can understand why people would think, because, I mean, there are certainly times when I was playing Galaxy 2 where I thought to myself, I mean, How many times can I grab a star?
I mean, how many times can you grab a star?
They do a good job of mixing it up, but I got bored of it a little bit. There is so much content in that game, though.
Yeah. See, I love Galaxy 2. I thought it was like, it's like one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh my God. Yeah, me too. I'm just saying it's a long game. There's a lot there.
That's true. Yeah, it is long. It's like, you know,
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's probably a good thing. It's probably bad that I like have to shove all my gaming time into weekends and nights. So, you know, it's easy to get sick of stuff.
Yeah. The thing we were saying last week about 3D Land and also 3D World was that the reason I think Nintendo is doing that particular style is because it's sort of like a bridge between the 2D and the 3D, and the 3D games don't really sell very well in Japan. So this is like their attempt at making a 3D game that the Japanese audiences will actually tolerate.
But that's they sell well here.
Yeah, they do, but they, you know. I don't know.
I was under the impression that there's no good reason that they're making these games, except that since new Super Mario Bros. For the DS, like, Nintendo just assumes that everybody loves this art style and wants all their games to play like shit.
I think that they didn't the first one on the Wii make like so much money it was stupid.
Yeah. New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
It sold like 20 million copies, and Galaxy sold like 5 million.
So they'll probably be, you know, pounding that into the ground until it's dead, and then they'll figure something else out.
Yeah, I think 3D Land did pretty well for them. Otherwise, I don't think they'd be using the same style. And I think, again, I really do think it's to appeal to the Japanese audience, because it feels more 2D in its execution. It's got the end of level flags. You can only move in 8 directions. Yeah, it's
3DS best-selling console.
You have an analog
right?
stick, but you can't move in more than 8 directions.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, 3DS was the best-selling console, by the way, Jamie.
This month, that's, yeah. Yes. I'm so happy about that.
Yep. Sold the Xbox.
I went to Video Games New York, which is a fantastic... For any of you listeners in the tri-state area, Video Games New York is a fantastic independent video game store, and I was in there for like just half an hour the other day, and usually no one's in there, but like 10 people came in and bought 3DS XLs.
Wow.
In the time I was there. Yeah.
For Animal Crossing?
Yeah.
They were buying a Fire Emblem.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which I'm loving my Fire Emblem so much.
Yeah, Fire Emblem's awesome.
There recently was introduced a fat asexual character who's evil.
The strategist?
I don't know. He's like fat, and he could be a guy, could be a girl. I don't know. It's what makes Japanese games great.
Have you finished Fire Emblem? Like, have you both completed the story?
No.
I'm on mission 20.
Okay.
I'm near mission 20.
Okay. I'm nowhere near that.
I'm playing on like the hard mode, so it takes a really long time to get farther.
The hard mode?
Like hard difficulty. I think there's like 6 difficulties.
Holy
I'm playing
moly.
Like the like second highest or something like that.
I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I thought it was just like, do you want casual or not? And I said casual.
No, if you choose, I think you can do it on both, but if you choose classic, then they give you like at least 4 difficulty choices.
Wow. Huh. That's intense.
Yeah, I want my dudes to die if they die, and then I blacked out, I guess.
If one of my dudes dies, I won't play that game again. So I knew that I shouldn't do that. Like, yeah. I know that about myself. If one of my dudes dies and I can't get him back, I won't want to cheat. So I won't want to save and restart. I'll just put the game down and then I'll never play it again. So I preempted that.
Mm. See, I just play repeatedly until all of them survive, until I devise a strategy.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Or I grind.
Where it's just, every death of my characters has just been something dumb where I'm like, oh, I'll send the mage guy really far up into the enemies. And I'm like, oh, shoot, that was a bad idea.
But aren't you guys cheating?
By restarting?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how you want to play.
Why don't you play cash?
Well, I mean,
I want the difficulty.
Cash is pretty easy. Cash, actually, I hadn't lost a battle until like 19 or 18.
Yeah.
And then the only reason I lost was because my main was stupidly far out unsupported and just got hammered. Which even on casual difficulty, I'm very impressed with the AI in that game. They gang up on your healers. They gang up on the people that you'll lose if one of them will dies. It's like I feel like they know what they're doing. They use their I've noticed in particular they use their very mobile units very well. So if something can fly, they'll send it right into the heart of your battalion. And they'll kick the ass out of like your healer or your mage, and then they'll leave. They'll get out of there.
Yeah, I find the one thing I don't like about that game is that you'll end up with one unit that's just like uber powerful and just sponges all your kills. Mm-hmm. Like for me, that's you know Noe.
Nope.
Oh,
dragon.
Yeah, I respect her a couple times, and she's just like she can one shot everything pretty much.
Really?
Yeah, I have like three units like that, and they just clean up the entire map.
But I mean, is that because you did a lot of heavy stacking of your units? Like you would kind of double them up all the time?
I do double them up a lot, but on the harder difficulties, it's like necessary that you favor a few units, basically. Right. Otherwise, you're just going to get destroyed.
I'm just thinking that the way that game is designed, where you'd stack a unit on top of another unit, it tends to push you in a direction where you have a handful of superpowered units.
Yeah, that's
because you're
true.
Not using your entire team, and like it gives you such a powerful improvement to do that. It's silly not to. So then late game, when you try and split people up, then it's kind of silly.
So I've never doubled up. I've never had to. I never really. I've never understood why that was an option. Like,
dude, it's so powerful
because then you have one less attack. That was what my mind said. So my whole team is pretty much evenly powerful.
I have one thing to say to you, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Casual scum.
Damn it.
Amazing. So you never have like paired your healer up with a knight or somebody who's got high defense, or you never like double up all of your cavalry troops to move them across the map faster and then unload them?
It's so powerful.
I put them next to each other.
If you double them up, it increases their chances of doing like joint strikes and stuff.
Yeah, you get like quadruple attacks.
Really?
Yeah, it's so powerful. Yeah. And
maybe I should be playing on cash. It's a little too easy then. I haven't even been using this thing, and I've lost once because I was being so stupid. I was basically not playing.
Yeah. See, I haven't lost any units, and I'm on like the almost hardest difficulty, but it also takes me sometimes, it takes a long time to clear a map.
I've got really bad paranoia.
What's that, Griffin?
No, I have really bad paranoia about not losing units, but gaining them. Like anytime I get into a map and there's like somebody who doesn't have a name that's like Unit B or like, you know, Hell Knight X or something. Yeah. And it's like Gregory. You see him walk in and I'm like, oh, fuck, I want that guy on my team. And then he just immediately gets slaughtered. Or,
dude,
I'm like, well, I bet I should have done something there.
Yeah, you gotta learn to pray and play, bro.
They always something too at the beginning of the battle. Like there'll be one guy in the corner of the map, and he's like, "I like books," and then he just gets killed.
Yeah.
They are such anime stereotypes in this one. It's really hilarious.
Yeah,
because the older games, if either of you, I think you've played one of them, Jamie. They were like,
I played the original.
They were like more medieval-ish.
I played the Ambassador one.
I didn't get that sense from the first one.
They had a different art style and like, well, I guess the one that you played Sacred Stones, right, Jamie?
Whatever one they gave you free for being a 3DS ambassador,
yes.
I played.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's
same
Sacred
here.
Stones. Yeah, they were definitely more like of the, like they felt more like they were not medieval, but like of the time period they were trying to represent. Whereas these are just like anime.
Oh, are you talking kind of like the translation in the world that they're in? Like, kind of like that like late or early Square mentality of like, we don't really know how to do Old English, so we'll just put an occasional ye and thou in here.
Yeah, that's sort of what they used to do. Now they're just like full on, like each character has one anime quirk about them.
Yeah.
You have the creepy girl who casts curses on people, or like,
yeah,
you know,
this girl's a bumpkin, so she's got a Texas accent.
Exactly, yes.
This girl trips a lot.
This guy is kind of gay. I married the kind of gay guy, Frederick, who's like kind of hitting on Crom the whole time. I married him because I'm a girl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And
I immediately married Chie. I mean, fake Chie.
Which one is fake Chie?
Sully. Like, the girl that's like, I like eating meat and working out. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
I like her, but she's like the typical, you know, like kind of brash anime girl who's actually got like a soft spot that she won't show you. I don't like that stuff very much.
No, I don't either. But it just, I mean, the problem with that too is like, I wish there was like a dialogue option that was like, so you want to do this? Because I just paired up with her in every single match, like every level I joined my character with hers because she had a horse. So we moved really fast.
Yeah. And then he just automatically gets married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Krom married her in my universe, and I don't want to spoil anything for you, Griffin, but I don't know how far you are, but later on, Sully actually, Jeff has some interesting conversations if she's married to Krom.
Oh, I think that Krom is married to, what's the Pegasus Knight's name?
Sumia.
Yes, Sumia.
Sumia. Yeah. Trips.
She's like, she's the default one.
Yeah. She's so anime. She's like, I'm afraid of my potential.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, they're all pretty damn anime. That's accurate. I mean, but I delightfully
love it. I wouldn't want it any other way.
But you also loved Valkyria 2.
Oh, my God. I loved everything about Valkyria 2.
Played that
for 120 hours. Oh, my God. I played it again. I played it through, and then I played it again.
This is why I think you would like Persona, because Persona, it's more mature, but it's like very anime.
But it's a million times better.
I don't like Persona very much.
Fuck
you. I played it, and I wasn't. It just wasn't
Troy Baker.
Troy Baker.
Which one was he in? Probably all of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. So my only attachment is to Persona 4.
Okay.
I would play Persona 3, but the systems in it are just so archaic and ill-designed. Mm-hmm. 4 kind of knocks a lot of the bugs out, and it's actually fun to play. But it is the greatest RPG ever created.
Wow.
Potentially rivaling Suikoden 2. I mean, they're on the same level for me.
Better than 13-2?
it's tough. I mean, yeah.
Lightning strikes twice.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We made a joke in the last podcast that if you make enough video game related puns, you just become a journalist immediately.
That's right. There you go. Congratulations. There's a feather in that cap of yours.
Griffin, have you played Mother 3?
No, I haven't.
Dude, that's the best RPG of all time, in my opinion.
It is. I haven't even like gotten very far in it, but Jeff forced me to play it, and I can already tell like there's it's draped in genius.
Yes. Oh, I bet. My only excuse to not playing it is I want to do it right. Like, you know.
That's not going to happen.
I know, it's not going to happen. But I have the guide from Fangamer.
Dude. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Like, I've looked into it. There's, you know, the fan translation has been completed and stuff. It's just like, you know, it's like, how am I going to make this night my special night? Like, it can't just be some emulator. It just can't be some random thing I download from the internet. This needs to be meaningful and special.
You could buy a GBA and buy the card or whatever and get like a flash card or something.
Yeah, that's
kind of. Costs you like hundreds of dollars, but you could do it.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm in the market for an SP.
I have one, actually.
I'm in the market for a very specific SP.
The backlit one?
Yep.
I don't have that one.
That's the one I want.
I have the Famicom one, though.
Ooh, hot.
Ah. I think I had the backlit SP, and I played a Tactics Ogre game on it. That was very good.
Oh, I love that game. Knight of Lotus?
I think so. Yes. Yep. That game did not have... Tactics Ogre doesn't have the like cutscene battle screens like Fire Emblem does, right? It's just like you just do it on the board.
It's Tactics.
Like Tactics, yeah.
It's the same dude who made Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, okay.
It's the precursor.
That game was so good.
Yeah.
You guys ever hear of Tactics 2.0? Final Fantasy Tactics 2.0?
I've heard of Final Fantasy Tactics 3.0, I think it is. Or 1.3.
What is 1.3?
1.3 is like a difficulty hack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. No, you're right. Yep, yeah.
I have played and beaten it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know the creator. It's an awesome game.
The creator?
Yeah.
Are you the creator?
No. The creator is this he's like a Latin American dude. He's an okay guy.
He's just okay. He's not that cool.
He's kind of a hothead. But yeah, it's an awesome game. I love it.
Wow.
It pulls in all these like things from all the other Final Fantasy Tactic remakes and other bullshit, and like brings it into one, amps up the difficulty, so you can't kind of cheese it or whatever. Like it's just it's mean. It doesn't want you to finish it, and I don't know.
You can die on literally the first map of the game when you have five guests or whatever, and you're just controlling Ramza. You can die on that map.
That's great.
So how do they do that? What are they ramping up?
Sweet hacks.
But what is it? The enemy health? Like, are you? What is the difference?
They open up the enemy skill sets. They leave the AI completely untouched, actually, because the AI in Final Fantasy Tactics is actually quite good. But they open up the skill sets. They give them access to skills they didn't have before. They rebalance everything. They up their health and equips. Because the thing about Tactics is that the game is very much equipment-based. Like, your levels don't really matter. Because, your equipment will give you health buffs. Like, if you can equip an armor that gives you, 300 health.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they handle it that way, and all the jobs, it's a really cool hack. If you have many hours to burn this summer, I would really highly recommend it.
I do, but I haven't even played it, the original one. I haven't even beat that, and I thought that was hard.
Yeah.
You should start there.
This is for someone who has completely mastered the original Tactics and doesn't think all the cheesy battles and tactics are hard anymore. Because it is a hard, hard game.
Get to that place, Jamie, and then go play Tactics 1.3.
It was funny. I remember I've never seen our friend Axel so furious as when he was playing Tactics, a real version of it on the PS1, and he got himself into a pickle where he had only one save, and it was in a battle that he could not win. And he was furious.
Yeah, and that game fucks you too, because you can get in one battle and then you save right after it, and there's another battle consecutively, and all you can do is go to your stats screen.
Yeah,
you can't shop or anything.
Yep. Yeah, that old Gafgarian at the bridge, man, or the gates.
Oh yeah, and Velius in Riovanna's castle.
Yep.
Yep.
Those are doozies.
Yep.
So what do you guys think?
Speaking of
this, I was just gonna ask real quick. Where do you guys think this genre is going? Do you think this genre as it is has a long and prosperous future, or do you think right now with Fire Emblem we are at the apex and it's just all downhill from here, and maybe Massive Chalice will be good, but because I
on my end here I've lost everybody, so I can't hear them. Give it a few seconds to see if they come back. 3, 2, 1, disconnect. Okay, so we'll be back in a second. Check back. Okay, so we're back with that. Sorry, it's Tactics, and do you think the genre is going to move forward, Jamie, you were asking?
Yes, I don't want it to change. I suppose it'll have to, but I don't know. Are they going to... So, RPGs, right? The RPG, as I know and loved it, is now the action RPG. So what's going to happen to this genre?
I mean, look at XCOM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was... I mean, I didn't really like the ambiance or whatever, or the atmosphere, but the gameplay itself was just an SRPG. It's funny because Enemy Unknown was supposed to be the side story that no one cared about, and the Bureau was supposed to be the main one, but then Enemy Unknown sold a million copies.
Is the Bureau out?
No, they put it on hiatus because this one did so well, and they're having development hell issues with the Bureau.
That sucks.
Well, that was when it was declassified, is it called?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, they rebranded it and everything. But yeah, so the one that was supposed to be, oh, we'll give those silly SRPG guys the game they want, so we can make our third-person shooter. The SRPG ended up selling amazingly. So I think that right there shows you that this kind of game won't die.
I think you're right.
But something about will there it be appeals. Innovation? I don't think so. This kind of the innovation is going to be baby steps, because eventually it becomes not an SRPG.
Yeah, I agree. What is so fun about it? Why do I think about it? I just want to do it. I want my characters to each have awesome swords.
Numbers, man.
You got a problem, dude. It's like me with Animal Crossing when I just see anything in real life and I'm like, dragonfly. Damn it.
You guys are going to have to explain that. Okay, can we do this now? Can you explain to me what this game is? Because I've never played an Animal Crossing before. And whenever I read reviews, everyone's like 10 out of 10. And then the review is like, like that's literally the review. But everyone loves it. So it's like, and I asked Jeff about it. And I was like, Jeff, what are you doing it? And he's like, well, you can play 15 minutes a day. I'm like, okay, what do you do during those 15 minutes? And he's like, there are animals, and sometimes they have items.
That's true.
I don't know.
They do have items sometimes.
It's essentially – okay, so have you ever played Farmville?
No.
Or have you played any sort of Facebook game that requires you to wait before you can progress and fuck around with your crops or whatever?
No.
Okay. Have you played The Sims?
Yes.
Okay. It's like that, but way more boring and less goal driven.
Yeah. It's very open. You're just this dude. You're like plopped in a town, and in this one, you're given virtually no direction at all, and you choose where to build a home. And there's a couple animals living in town, and over the next few days, more animals will move in, and you can talk to the animals and. Sometimes they'll just be like, hey, what's up? Other times they'll be like, hey, can you go deliver this? And you can shake
trees.
And
most of the time, they're just like, hey, look at my new raincoat. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Like, majority of the time, it's trees
and
benign.
Shit will fall out of the trees. You can go fishing.
I was listening to the Giant Bombcast, and they were talking about it. And they were saying that some weird shit goes on. Like, there'll be, like, a mayor, but he's, like, there's, like, an outcast mayor.
Yeah,
like Tortimer is fucking on that island just plotting. Yeah.
He's been like forced into retirement.
But it's like not a depressing story. It just is.
Yeah.
The Animal Crossing, I think, is the most profound and beyond its time game ever. Like, I think it is.
Yeah.
It is a game that was created and has never, ever reached its potential. Because when it came out, it's essentially an MMO with nobody else in it. Like, you're in a town in an MMO, and nobody, and you're just, it's just a barren wasteland, only you and these AI characters. So the way that you have fun in that realm is you start fucking with things and creating your own stories.
Yeah.
Kind of like you do in The Sims. And that's where it becomes so enjoyable. And then you're held in this chokehold of nostalgia for like, Tom Nook, you rascal! God damn it! You know, you're so attached to those things and those stupid tropes and there's nothing really good inherently good about it. It's just fun and different, and it holds you. And then as time goes on, it starts taking steps where it's like, okay, well, now what if you can play with friends? Well, that's awesome. Now I can share my animal world with my real life friends, and I can make it closer to what this game should have been, an MMO. And then it also has similarities to like iPhone games, where it's like you can only play this game. You can get the most out of this game in a half hour in a day. Yeah. And then you know, you can still futz around and you know, do nothing essentially. Like do things here and there, like rearrange your garden or whatever, but it doesn't get you anything. It has
rapidly diminishing returns. Like if you play for more than an hour, you're probably gonna get really bored. Unless you're like a real devotee. But like there's only a finite number of things you can do on any given day. But like the shit you can do like gradually expands, and it's like a perfect trickle. It's not quite like an MMO where you're leveling, because you have like it imposed like Griffin was saying, like it makes you wait. Like it'll be like, hey, this awesome shop is gonna open tomorrow. But not until tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess there's that clock, that real life clock is quintessential. For
that's like the key element to the game. Like it matches up with real time. You have to wait for shit to happen. Like stores have inventory, but it's really limited, and it replenishes every day.
Yeah, they have hours that they're adherent to, and people have schedules that they do based on what time it is in real life.
Yeah, like your villagers, sometimes they'll just go to sleep.
Yeah.
And like you can't talk to them. Yeah. Or like the stores are all
closed. Like in previous Animal Crossings, if you had a job, like a real job, or you were in school in the morning hours, you're fucked. Like you couldn't actually play this game. Like you get back home and it's like 8 o'clock at night and you're like, well, everything's closed and nobody's outside. It's just me picking weeds.
Now you can do like an ordinance that keeps the town open late, though.
Yeah.
But
it's also, I mean, it also does seem to have shifted more into open-ended, where it's like the stores are open from 9 till you know, 10 instead of like 8 till 4.
Yeah.
Really?
Now it's more dependent on like checking in every day. Like, because there's always something happening, like something new, something, a little twist, a new character pops into town and maybe has like a special item to give you. It scratches a lot of like collection itches, like catching all the bugs, catching all the fish, getting all the furniture in a certain set to make your house look cute. But somehow it doesn't feel as dirty as Farmville.
No. Like, it's not insidious. It's not like, hey, do you want to buy some animal books? You know, you're not doing that sort of these. Do you want to increase your coconut meter? You're not doing that sort of bullshit. Like, it's literally just, you've exhausted everything you can do. You can go rearrange stuff in your house. You can go talk to villagers. But, like, meaningful things that will help you to progress forward don't happen anymore after a certain amount of time invested into it.
Of every description I've heard of this game, the one that Griffin gave, where it was, this is an MMO town, and no one's there but you, that's the most compelling to me. Because in the early days of WoW, I had more fun waiting for, like, a group, and then going and standing on some NPC's head than I would have in the group.
That's essentially what is so much fun about the Animal Crossing experience, is, like, you create these stories out of kind of, like, insane boredom, where you're in this world interacting with these things that don't actually have any interactability, like, but you create it for them, and you're like, well, I just wrote a bunch of letters to Owly, the owl guy living next to me, about how 9/11 truths, and now he's talking about how concrete can't burn at that temperature, you know?
No, the funny thing, Griffin's right, like, you can write letters to your animal friends, and they'll show them to you. Like, if you write them a letter, they'll be like, hey, I got this letter from you, cool. But, like, they won't actually read the text of the letter. So, like, whatever you put in the letter is just up to you.
Right.
So, like, you can say the craziest shit, and you can make up a hilarious story for, like, why your elephant next door, you know, doesn't come out until 12 noon or something, and send them a letter about it. And they'll just hold up the letter and be like, hey, cool.
That's the insane thing about that game, is, you know, you end up doing that stuff. Like, you start writing messages that nobody will see, but you have that, like, that's why I say it's like an MMO, where you have that glimmer of hope that, like, someday somebody will create the technology to come into your Skyrim world and walk into your house that's full of cheese wheels and see what you've been doing by yourself this entire time. Like, see this madness that you've created.
Yeah, it's really different, like Griffin said, than any other game. And I think he's right that it's like sets a, it's they were way ahead of their time. And I think this is something that Nintendo often has done in the past. Yep. Like, I was playing one of the Ambassador games that they gave, WarioWare. Have any of you played any WarioWare games?
Wario World? Or
no, WarioWare.
Okay.
The micro games?
I played it on the Wii. I played WarioWare on the Wii.
WarioWare for the Game Boy Advance was the first iteration. It's basically the same thing. You have these games. They're like little games that only usually require a couple button presses. They're all like 3 seconds long. And it'll be like, get the ball in the hoop. And you have to, like, line up the ball with the hoop and hit A. Or, like, you know, grab the frog. And you have to grab the frog when it jumps on the lily pad. And they're all these little micro games. And they just keep coming rapid fire. And that, like, that is mobile gaming. Like, they, first of all, it's a hell of a lot of fun. It's more fun than most mobile games I've ever played. And also, it, like, it is the reason mobile gaming exists. So, like, for all of Nintendo's insanity, like, they break new ground all the time.
Yeah. Like you said, you're right, and I agree. But I think it's also unrealized potential, where it's like, where is the furthest WarioWare has gotten?
Yeah,
well,
it's true.
It's a party game.
Yeah.
And, like, pass the controller. Who's going to do the elephant? Like, this one's the remote control. Like, collect the trash. Like, it's super fun. It's really frantic, but... And, like, the bite-sized nature of them are really cool, but, like, is, you know, it lives and dies in that world.
Yeah, I think you're right, Griff. Like, they make something amazing, and then they just iterate like crazy, and they don't change it very much.
Right.
What's
but
that
they
new
also
one
don't,
coming out?
They don't extend it to the next logical like thing, where it's like, hey, say, hey, Animal Crossing, you should be online all the time. I should be able to visit people all the time. People should be coming into my houses. Like, the interactivity should be embraced in that game, not this, like, I'm going to just make this wrestling ring in my house all by myself, so only I can see it.
Yeah, they move at their own glacial pace.
It's interesting that, like, we never criticize Skyrim for that, you know? And maybe that's because someone is going to make that mod. But, like, you know, how come we don't care about that in Skyrim? That guy's collecting cheese wheels. He'll make a – the most he'll do to share it with everyone is make a YouTube video about it. No one's ever going to be in his cheese wheel house.
I think that people are criticizing Skyrim for that, saying like, hey, you know, what should happen is – some sort of venue where you can all play in one Elder Scrolls world together, where a lot of people can play through some sort of broadband connection to some massive digital infrastructure.
Also,
but then the second they come out with the MMO, people are like, "Oh my god, I don't want." And I'm one of those people. I don't want
because
it to
be an MMO. It's not Elder Scrolls. It's. I think that the difference is that first of all, Skyrim. Like, I don't think Skyrim would necessarily like. It might benefit from an MMO, but at its core, it is a single-player game, and yeah. Like they have advanced the series significantly. Like if you play Morrowind, that is a very different game, mm-hmm. like from Skyrim in many ways. There's been a lot of mechanical changes. You know, I mean, some of the core is the same, but a lot has changed. If you play the GameCube or 64 disc drive Animal Crossing, and then you play the current one, they're pretty similar. I think that Nintendo they really do like they move at an unbelievably slow pace, and I love it for whatever reason, but their games can be damn similar, and I think that's what like they get unfairly targeted, but I think that's why people get on their case.
Animal Crossing also works really well for me right now because the last one I played was the Wild World on the DS, so I'm like, hey, I'm ready to go again. Like I had my breather. I'm all Animal Crossing up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Then I'd probably love it since I've never
had. Yeah, you probably would. I mean,
I love Skyrim.
Well, you love Animal Crossing. They're essentially the same thing.
I don't know if I'd go that far. But yeah, they're pretty similar. I was going to say, yeah, I think that a lot of Nintendo franchises, you benefit from skipping an entry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Even Mario? Even 3D Mario?
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually,
I suggest skipping all of them.
I did not play Galaxy 1, really. I played it after I played Galaxy 2, and only because I was hungry for more. And then I was a little bit disappointed. But and then when I played Galaxy 2, my mind was blown because I'd like never seen level design so elegant. And I didn't have like the appetizer that was Galaxy 1. So maybe that contributed to how much I loved that game. I don't know.
I think I liked both the Galaxy games. In that case, I didn't feel like I needed to skip, but I just think in their more stagnant franchises, I think you benefit because there's some magic about them that will fade if you just keep, like if you don't give yourself enough space, it will fade,
mm-hmm.
like with Animal Crossing. But mm-hmm. if you wait long enough, you'll be like, oh, like it's my old friend. I used to play this on the DS.
No, you're absolutely right. Like embrace the nostalgia. Like don't succumb to it. Don't be that person who's buying everything all the time and buying every virtual console turd that comes out. Like be smart about it and be happy with how crazy you are. I do have a question for you guys. Speaking of Nintendo stuff, so recently with the like regime change and crazy usurping that Adorable Iwata-san did, also the YouTube monetization of like advertisement revenue has shifted into the hands of Nintendo from the YouTube posters. Do either of you guys watch Let's Plays? Do you feel like this is something that is bad precedence for the industry, or do you think it's Nintendo just being like the hurdy dirty doofy? We just found this internet thing and this seems like a good idea.
What? Can you explain this a little more?
Yeah, absolutely. Or Jeff, you want to take it?
Yeah, I do watch Let's Plays, actually, so I can explain it pretty well. basically, what happened was Nintendo sent out like a bunch of notices. Well, they went to YouTube, and a lot of people post like video of Nintendo games on YouTube. And mm-hmm. basically, they filed like this content. I forget what it's called, like a content claim or something.
Well, sorry to interrupt you for a sec. YouTube has like this content matching filter built into it. So anything
content
that is owned by a well established major company, YouTube has the magical, technologically insane ability to recognize if that is being put up on YouTube. So that's why you don't see entire films or like music for the most part on, well, I guess music isn't true, but like TVs and film, you don't see like in the raw on YouTube. Yeah. So that works for games as well. So
yeah. Nintendo's not the first company to do it. Actually, Sega pissed off a lot of people because they did this to the Shining Force series and Star Ocean as well, I believe.
Okay.
And
Konami's doing it too, I'll tell you from firsthand.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
But what are they doing again?
So basically what happens is they find your video of their game, which you are using to make money off of Google Ads, essentially. Like, you post a Let's Play of the video or of the game, and every time someone watches your video, they watch an ad, and you get paid a couple pennies.
Gotcha.
So what happens is Nintendo swoops in and says, hey, you're using our content. We'd appreciate it if you'd allow us to monetize monetize the ads that are shown. So, like, they will let you keep your content up, but they get all the money from the ads because it's their content.
Well, I didn't even know that people were getting paid to put their random shitty videos on YouTube, so it sounds like an okay deal to me.
It's interesting. I heard just a little different twist with the story that I read, painted Nintendo in a little bit different light, where it was YouTube that approached Nintendo saying, hey, we noticed that you got a lot of your stuff on here that I don't know if you know it's here. And Nintendo's like, oh, really? We do? And, you know, they're like, yeah, you can have us take this down if you find this intrusive and offensive and you know, against your copyright laws or whatever. And they're like, well, I don't know. And then YouTube individual is saying, well, you can also, these people are making money from it. Perhaps you would like to take the ad revenue from the money and let the people keep their videos. And Nintendo's like, well, okay, why not? So the story that I read painted Nintendo more as this, like not this insidious, like, we're going to pinch these pennies from these little guys. Like, more just like, oh, is that a thing? Okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That sounds more like Nintendo. Nintendo would be the guys who are like, what's YouTube? Do you guys like trading cards?
Yeah, I think that
get
your Notch,
e-readers out.
I was going to say, I think that Notch, the creator of Minecraft, was approached by YouTube as well with the same offer. And he posted a tweet saying, like, oh, he considered it but decided against it. I personally think it's a huge mistake, honestly. I think that the thing about those Let's Plays and all those other videos is that I think a lot of people who are, like, considering purchasing a game will go to YouTube and, like, watch someone play the game. Yeah. And, like, people who watch that stuff are, like, really loyal to it, and they really love their personalities. And if a personality, like, weighs in on a game and says he really likes it or she really likes it, like, a bunch of people go out and buy it. And I think that it was probably – I think they probably saw the money, and they're like, oh, we're hurting right now. Like, this is a revenue stream. Well,
do you really think that is the case, though? Like, do you think that Nintendo is making – a sizable chunk of money from these YouTube videos? Like, is that enough for them to be like, oh yes, excellent, this will save us, this will keep us afloat?
Well, I think they're making a lot, because people who do this shit, it's their job. Like, this is what they do. Like, they buy a good computer, a good recording rig, and they do this full time. So I think that Nintendo is making a lot of money.
I understand it's their job, but I mean, how much are these people making? Like, it's like the YouTube personalities, the people that are like I, Jessica, or whatever the hell those, like, Boxy, or whatever those people, like, it's that same sort of, like, is that a living, or is it enough to sustain what they're doing?
People, the most popular YouTubers make millions every year. Like, we're
talking
about 6 or 7 million
bucks. YouTube also
pays
a stipend for people at a certain level, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Google will pay individuals who are at certain levels to keep doing what they're doing, not just ad revenue, essentially employing them, but indirectly.
You can make a living off that. And there are plenty of people on YouTube that do that.
So now you're putting a whole different light on it. So Nintendo took these people's livelihoods away, I guess you could say. At the same time, if they're so good at this, just make a blog and put it on the blog and people will follow you. And then,
right. So I asked my friends yesterday about the same thing. And one of them, he's a musician, so he had a lot of interesting insight into this. And it's, you know, we had a good back and forth about whether or not people should be getting paid to use other people's content as their own, essentially, jumping off point for their material, or however you want to define it. But, you know, do you guys, as legal experts, do you feel like this is wronging these people who are doing these Let's Plays? Do you think that a Let's Play or a YouTube video that has gameplay footage in it separates itself enough from the game itself to be considered, like, its own medium and therefore not property of the original designer?
It's pretty tricky. So I actually know a little bit about this because when I was a paralegal, we worked for two guys who were lawyers for the music industry. Mm. And basically what they told us is it's all well and good to take someone's music and sample from it all you want until it isn't anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can sample as much as you want until the person who you're sampling from says, I would like to sue you. And yeah. then it's no longer okay. At the same time, I feel like these industries are so different. I just wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of arguments on both sides. I mean, people will say it falls under fair use. I think it's kind of a shaky argument. I think that Nintendo is probably within its rights under the current law, but I don't think the current law is very good.
copyright law.
I also think that I don't really consider like whether it's morally right for these people to be using it. I consider like the practicality of it. So like, is it really going to hurt Nintendo's bottom line for this video to be floating around? I think, in fact, it's actually just free advertising.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Argue that, like, oh, spoilers, you know, like, oh, someone's going to see the entire game and they don't need to play it. But I think that's pretty short-sighted. I think that it probably sells more games than it takes sales away. And I think for that reason, they should just leave it the hell alone.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. But I also think that – I guess my reaction is more against the people that are reacting to this and saying, like, oh, my God, Nintendo, like, you are killing your fans. You have shot yourself in the foot forever. Like, it is
I think it's dumb, honestly, but yeah,
I think it's dumb too. But I also think that defending the people that are doing the Let's Plays, saying like, "Well, these people should be allowed to do whatever they want with this because they're making it their own." Like, I think that no, you can't just come out and say that. I think that you know, these people are using this. Like, it's at the very least, it is not as easy as just saying no. They've transformed the medium into something mm-hmm. else, because like. Gaming is a really weird, nebulous region of interactivity and art and storytelling and this like hodgepodge of all of that. So when is it okay for you to call it your own and not the original game anymore? Like, I think that you can't just say, well, Nintendo is the bad guys. These people should be able to make their bazillions of dollars off it and keep doing what they're doing. Do it for free, fuckers.
Yeah, I think just arguing that people are going to lose their livelihoods is not a persuasive argument, because like, if they knew this wasn't right, they shouldn't have gotten into it in the first place.
Yes.
I do think that you can make the argument, though, that it is more beneficial for these videos to be around and making money, because if they're not making money, they're not going to do it anymore. And then when you go on YouTube and you look for videos of Nintendo, you're not going to find them.
Well, I disagree about that. I do disagree. I think that, you know, the internet is the many-headed hydra of that. And if these people who are making money off it go away and start doing something else, there will be two more people in their place who are just as funny, if not funnier, doing the same goddamn thing.
For free, you mean?
Yeah, but they're just not making money. Like, okay, so, for example, I think this is the fascinating part of all this, is like when I put my videos up of me playing through a game for a bit on YouTube, most of the time it's fine. I don't get anything. But every once in a while, I'll get a third-party flag, and majority of the time has been from Konami. Now, the thing that really ticks me off is when it says, hey, we noticed this third-party content. Now you have to run ads on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, I don't want that. I don't want to make money off it. I don't want this, because it's not mine. Like, sure, I'm voicing over this stuff. I'm playing this game, but like, I don't feel right about this because I haven't asked the permission from these companies to do this, and I'm posting it on this like free service. So, you know, it feels borderline illegal. So I don't want to be making money off it.
Well, I think you probably have to run ads, which then go back to Konami.
I don't know if it goes to Konami. That's the thing about YouTube that I find really interesting, where it's like, well, what if I don't want that? And they're like, well, no.
I highly doubt that money's going to Konami. No one's watched. I mean, like,
no, but that's how
YouTube's not.
How do you think they afford Kiefer Sutherland?
No, like,
that's how Content Match works, though.
If, I mean, it depend. I guess it would depend on how many views. Like, these guys are, you say they're getting millions of views. Maybe if someone's getting millions of views, then someone at Google looks into it, figures out what they're showing, and says, this is this game, this money should be going to this person. But if I put up a video on YouTube and like you guys watch it, and it's me playing Final Fantasy VII, no one at Google is going to watch that video and just determine that it it's a Square Enix game and set that up.
I think you're mixed up though. It's I think it's all robots. Like, yeah. It's just like they give you footage and then the robots are like, oh, we found your video that has a Square Enix game on it.
That's why if you can watch videos on YouTube if the videos are posted mirrored. Like, you can watch an entire film, but if it's flipped on its axis, like,
I
inverted.
Think they're working on that, actually.
Yeah,
I think,
I'm sure they are, but like currently that's just one of the things that you can beat the robots with is like you know.
That, yeah, so
that's so interesting. I had no idea. I thought it was a dude.
No, those people are working on porn somewhere. They're filtering the porn and creating the hashtags for that.
Yeah, so if you get content matched, I think what happens is it'll be like this property is owned by Square Enix.
Yes,
it'll be like you have to run ads, which then go to Square Enix.
Well, it says you've been tagged as third party content. This does not mean you need to take your video down. But it does mean that you've been locked out of certain things. So like you can't use any of YouTube's editing tools. Mm. You cannot you cannot remove the ad that plays with it. And depending on how popular it gets, the ad can change from just being a pop-up ad to like a video that shows in front. And then also if you're in the third party, you know, you can't make revenue from that either.
Yeah.
And then it does say though, if you'd like to dispute this, please contact us or please provide us proof that you've contacted the original owner of this content and we'll be willing to negotiate with you. Like, it's really open-ended. It's not evil by any means. It's not oppressive.
Yeah, I know people who've actually gotten content matched and have not had particular content and have had repeated issues with it on YouTube. So I'm familiar with that angle too. But I'm pretty sure that when you do get content matched, it's always so that the third party can make money off of your video by putting ads in front of it. If I understand it correctly.
This is so weird to me because on the one hand, yes, you're creating a commercial product that is entertainment and you're disseminating that. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's like it's a community. If I sit down with you two guys in my living room and we talk about the game as I play it, you know, like – I don't know. It gets on my nerves a little bit.
It all becomes complex when you put money into the equation. That's the problem here. Is once people start making money off these things, that's when it becomes difficult.
True. But what's stupid is they're never going to make the kind of money off of just playing a game and monetizing that the publishers are going to make off of the actual game.
Right.
So going after that revenue stream, even if like Google compelled them to do it, is just a dumb move because you're cutting off another potential revenue stream, which is just people buying your game.
Yeah, absolutely. You're taking eyes away from your product. Like, right now the internet is full of pundits and people who want to tell you their opinions and people follow them. So why not give them the license to do what they do best and help you out?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's just companies see the short term and like they're like, oh, there's a revenue stream we haven't tapped. Let's do it. It kind of reminds me of the used games argument, honestly.
Oh,
if we want to segue over into that.
Yes.
Because I think that a lot of companies see the amount of money that is in the used game market and they say, hey, I want a cut of that.
Yeah.
But I don't think they
can. We could be a GameStop too.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, hey, you know what? These people are selling their games. AAA games are really expensive. We're hemorrhaging money. Let's get some of that money from selling games. But I don't think that they realize that the money that people make back from selling their used games is used to buy new games.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, like, I linked Jamie to a study on Destructoid about used games.
A study on Destructoid, eh?
Well, sorry, it wasn't – the structure didn't do it, but a study that was conducted by, I think, NYU, actually.
Okay. How many boners do you have right now?
conducted by, I believe, NYU, of the used game market in Japan, and they determined that if you just cut out the used game market and you left prices the same, you would actually lower net profits.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
If you cut out the used game market and you lowered prices, you could increase profits. But that's not what is being suggested here. It's just cutting out the used game market and keeping prices exactly where they are.
Right. And but then it's keeping budgets exactly where they are too. The problem.
Which is the other idiotic move. It's so short-sighted. And it like they can do it. They have the power to do it. But it's idiotic, in my opinion.
I think that we've been getting such mixed messages. So yesterday, or today rather, they you know, Xbox you know, rescinds their whole policy. However,
the Don Father puts out a statement.
Cliff Bleszinski gets on his soapbox and starts extolling the virtues of said policy.
Oh God!
And it's like, I don't understand. Like, have we staved this off for one more console generation?
But okay, so I think that's interesting to take a step back here. Is just I think that the used game, not okay, this is going to sound bad here, but I think that what Microsoft was doing was good. I think that the quote unquote cutting out the used game market is good. If you Steamify consoles, I think that's a good thing.
But the problem I have is that we don't know that they were going to Steamify consoles. In fact, all signs point to them not Steamifying consoles.
But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, no, hear me out here for just a moment. Like, is it okay? So the potential, like, at the end of the road, it's everything is owned digitally and physically. You can trade, things have value. You know, you are able to do what you do right now, but just in a different realm. Like, you're not going to GameStop. You can still do the same things you're doing. You're just going through a first party service instead of a third party store, you know. But now, before you say anything, Microsoft is not the company to do that, right?
Yeah, because you're talking about potential, and I'm talking, like, for me, it's about the reality of the situation, which is simply that they were taking away options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone actually...
Yes.
I was reading a Gaffe thread, actually, and Jason Schreier of Kotaku, he posted a comment on, a Gizmodo article or something, and it was like, you've got the stick. Like, you're taking away the discs. There's your stick, but where's your carrot? Like, what are you giving people?
Yeah. Exactly. And the other thing is, like Jim Sterling brought this up, we're putting trust, where companies are asking us to trust them in this, but they have not earned our trust at all.
Especially
every time there's an opportunity to fuck us, they do. Yeah. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have. But I feel like why would I trust you with the ownership of my stuff? Why? Like, you would love to have me buy it again and again and again and again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and, like, the other thing is, like, they announced the MSRP of Xbox games, or Xbox One games, is going to be $60. So, like, what is going to be different? Or, I mean, you know, obviously they've rescinded the entire thing now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was going to be different?
They haven't rescinded the online check-in once every 24 hours.
Oh, they have.
Oh, they did?
Yes. The thing that was integral to the functioning of the console is now gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that this is, I think, the most fascinating discussion, and it leaves a lot of room for speculation. But just to back up here for just a tad. So earlier today, I guess earlier on Wednesday, right? Microsoft, Don Matrick through Microsoft, you know, releases this press statement saying, "We were listening to gamers. We heard what you wanted." Or I should say, "Good morning." "We were listening to gamers and we heard what you wanted. You want games. So here are your games." Like, in this statement, he's saying, like, well, you know, "We've decided to cancel the 24-hour check-in period. We've decided to cancel region locks. We've decided to cancel any sort of used game block that we had." Like,
what
he specifically says, games will be able to run, or you will be able to use games in the exact same way you use games with the Xbox 360.
Here's what I don't understand. Actually, well, first I wanted to do my game journalism pun, which was Xbox One. More
80?
Like Xbox 180.
Yeah, that was on Twitter today.
No!
Yeah, sorry. A bazillion other people thought of that before you.
Damn it. So what I wanted to say was, what's going to happen with, like, the whole... Like, I thought the games install on your console.
Yes.
So how are they going to square that with their reversal on trading games?
So you install games. So in their statement, you can still... presumably install it on your console, but the disc remains in the system to play it. Just like the Xbox 360.
That's See, to me, that makes everything they've said in the past week seem so utterly disingenuous,
right,
and
like,
disgusting.
Does it kind of feel like they just had this big fuck you switch that they flipped to off?
Yeah, it does.
That's such a good analogy. But, it's just been on. It's just been running on.
I thought you wouldn't notice it.
I think my favorite thing that any of them said was when someone asked Don Matrick, what do you do if you don't have good internet? And he goes, get an Xbox 360.
The Xbox One is loaded with thousands of dollars of value.
That was another great one.
This reminds me of when they stock hospital boards with no one, like no doctors, and then the hospital fails and they wonder why. It's like, just figure out what you're doing as a company. This isn't a smart TV in a box. This isn't a Roku. This is a game console.
But that's what's so confusing about this whole situation is Don Matrick has been a decent head for 360 in the past, or for Microsoft in the past. Like, all these people who came up on stage at the E3, like, they are good dudes who do good stuff at previous press conferences and know about the things that are good. Like, freaking, was it Phil Spencer came up and said roguelike and talked about Cappy games? Like,
looking like he was squeezing out a poop.
Yeah. Like, but still, like, those people kind of know what's going on. They're not awful people or unqualified people. Like, it's just it's so weird that does it really take this long for a company that large to get its message together or to realize what's happening? Like, the Adam Ort fiasco had a result that was pretty quick. Like, with that,
I feel like ever since they announced Windows 8, something has been going on over there.
Yeah, it does seem like there is sort of some, like, schizophrenia happening with that company.
They're trying to appeal to too many people. Yeah. Steve Jobs appealed that he didn't use focus groups. He appeals to him. Well, Apple's probably a bad example, but in the past, Steve Jobs has said that, like, he wouldn't use focus groups. He would make a product that he would be happy with, and people will like it then. If he tries to make something that everyone will like, no one will like it. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. They think people like tablets. So they're like, we should make Windows 8 something that looks like a tablet.
Smart glass.
And, like, people like sports. People like sports and stuff. So we should make a video game console, but it has sports on it. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, something's going on over there.
Trying to serve too many masters.
Like, they've still spurned indies. They haven't fixed that problem.
But that's not too difficult of a fix, I think. Like, I think all you need to do is say, like, hey, now we have a self-publishing means. Like, it may not be fantastically robust, but hey, you
can
do it.
I feel like a lot of the influential, like the big voices, the so-called indies who have millions of dollars, the big voices in the community, you know, you have your Phil Fish, your John Blow, they all like hate Microsoft with passion.
Sure. No, I mean, you're right.
And like, I mean, eventually they'll be dethroned or whatever and someone else will come in, but I think they've done a lot of damage.
Well, right.
Honestly.
I mean, in terms of like mind share, yeah, Xbox is in the toilet right now, but does that mean it is incorrectable? No, like, there are solutions in place. Like, they're already acting on it.
Yeah, I'm surprised they reversed so quickly, honestly.
My God.
I guess somebody over there was like, this is the best thing we can do, because with their policies and their $100 price differential, like, things are looking bad. I wouldn't be surprised if they introduce like a cheaper model, like a basic model with a 250 gig drive for less, or they bring out the subscription model that everyone was floating.
Depends on how high they're riding. They won this generation by a lot, a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they kind of pulled a Sony. They went in. They're like, we can do no wrong.
Okay.
I feel like they will if they do this, I think they'll probably do something with the price. Like, maybe you can buy one now without the Kinect. Was the Kinect bundled with it?
I don't think the price is gonna change. Only because immediately after this announcement had been broadcast, then multiple exec tweets came out that said, hey, we said this. Also, new pre-order options are available on Amazon and all these other and Microsoft.com. Wow. And it's the same price, just different bundles with, like, you know, bigger dongs in them or whatever.
I don't know.
Price might be tougher to change. I mean, those these things are probably, I mean, they're probably are like close to pumping them out, right?
But I think that now you're getting into a territory where it's a $100 difference. It's $400 to $500. Like, is that enough to make or break your community? Like, now I feel like with these features kind of getting on parity, you're getting back into like late game or middle game, like 2008, 2010. Xbox, PlayStation 3 territory, where it's like, who has the better first party games? Like,
yeah.
See, I think that it, because Xbox or Microsoft went into this with such a huge advantage, like they went into the new generation with such a huge advantage. If they had dropped the $500 price point, even with the inferior hardware, before they pulled out all this used game shit, they might have still won. Just sure. Because Sony was doing so poor. I mean, the sales of the two consoles were roughly equal, but Sony didn't have, as you said, a lot of mind share. So if they had come out with 500, probably all the bros would be, you know, Call of Duty, whatever, Titanfall. But I think that combined with the damage they did themselves with the used game fiasco, I think that the $500 price point is really going to hurt them. And I think they've lost. I think that the mind share comes and goes really fast in today's world.
I think the mind share comes and goes fast. Yes, absolutely. And I think that in another, you know, 3 to 5 months, people could possibly forget about all this and just be
I
like,
agree with
which,
you, Griffin,
which one has my Call of Duty on it?
Well, yeah. I agree with you, Griffin, but this is what I think. I think $100, that's a game, you know? Someone's going to walk in there to GameStop and they're going to see one for 500, one for 400, and they're going to think, well, I can get the $400 one and Call of Duty for $460. Why would I, you know?
Yes, yeah. You're right. But let me present this other angle to you is that somebody is Joe Call of Duty, and he walks in there and he says, "Oh, I would like to buy a new system to play Madden and Call of Duty on. What I have my 360, which one should I get?" Now your semi-informed individual can tell you, well, I mean, you can get a PlayStation 3 or a 4. It'll play the games. It's cheaper. Or you can get an Xbox One and it's $100 more, but you can keep all your friends and it has this TV stuff.
You can't keep your downloaded titles though.
No, but I mean,
you can't
play
your 360 games on it.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. But I mean, this is the same for PS4. Like, you're right. Is that enough? So the question that it comes down to is, has Microsoft engendered enough loyalty to stay within its system? Have they given you enough reasons to stay within its system than to switch out of it for something that's $100 less?
I think with the no backwards compatibility, I think that's one huge – I mean, obviously that doesn't matter when you get past the first year or so, but for the first year, backwards compatibility is huge. And I also think that, like I said, they squandered a lot of the goodwill with their unveiling, and I think that $100 is a lot of money. I think that's enough. I think with some of the shitty news that's come out about them recently and all the confusion they've created, $100 is enough to flip-flop it again.
Yeah. I agree with Griffin in that I've definitely spoken with a few bros that I go to school with who are aware of all of this and are aware of the limitations. And this is assuming that they're still working on the knowledge that you won't be able to sell used games. You have to check in once a day. They still wanted the Xbox.
Oh,
why?
God.
no reason, but they still wanted the Xbox. However, I think that, you know, they made me want to pre-order a system. I never want to pre-order a system like that. So
I feel like people like us. I mean, well, maybe not you, Jamie, because you're smart. But people like us who buy shit at launch are gonna all still gravitate towards the PS4. And I think that anyone out there who is like really informed is gonna be spreading that word of mouth, and that's just gonna hurt them so much in the first year. And like in the first year, like, some of the bros are going to buy it, but not very many.
Okay, I feel like that eventually we'll get to a point where this ill will, this evil Microsoft, you know, the ball that Microsoft dropped in the beginning of this year can be forgotten. And it literally comes down to, which one do you want? They do the same goddamn thing. $100 to keep all your old friends and be within an infrastructure you understand, or you can do $100 less, and you go to this other thing that's just as good, but
well,
new
better,
and different.
Actually.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing, Jeff. They're not going to see it that way because it really is, like, in terms of the specs, just as good. And now that Griffin says, like, just the fact that you'd have something familiar, I feel like that will be compelling to this kind of person, not to us, but to this specific kind of consumer. Yeah. Like, if they go into the store, mm-hmm. and they have a setup, right? They mm-hmm. have both the PS4 and the One next to each other, so they can play it, and yeah. they play them both, and they see that the Xbox One's interface is similar but flashier than what they know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's enough to get that type of consumer to buy the Xbox One.
Yeah. Well, here's my response to that. In the first, let's say, year of the console, the people who are going to be making purchasing decisions about it then, some of them are going to be the Call of Duty bros, definitely. But by and large, you're going to see the kinds of people who like read NeoGAF and are like really into the scene. The people who buy consoles right at launch are like true believers. And I think
fuckers. The people that sell that shit on eBay.
Yes, and fuckers. And like, if you look at the pre-order numbers right now, like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of time between now and when these things drop. And Sony has been killing it, and they have to keep doing that. They can't get complacent. But like, it is blowing Xbox out of the park in terms of the pre-orders.
Yeah, and the fact that Xbox did this, or Microsoft did this, does indicate that something wasn't looking good on the number side.
Yeah, definitely. They wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah. And I mean,
are they
going
to lose money on these? Are they losing money on these consoles? Like,
no
like
word,
they used
no
to?
Official word yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jack Tretton said that, or no, Andrew House said that the PS4, he said that it was, he pretty much implied that it was close to break even.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
I think we can talk about the financials and guess and do our Pactor impressions and all that shit all night long, but like, we're not going to get anywhere with this because, you know, only time will tell. And Jamie, you mentioned Giant Bomb earlier. I love that thing. And on the podcast, they compared this to like a political rally. So like, you know, in another 6 months, hearts and minds could be changed in the exact opposite direction because it things move by so quickly and, you know,
very
whatever.
True.
Politics are forgotten.
Very, very true.
Here's my question. What's like the compelling feature that would drag people over to Xbox among the true believers?
So
Titanfall?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, so now has this changed any of your opinions on the system? Like, yeah. Is it Titanfall?
The mech game?
Is it the games?
See, I don't know. For me, there's no change, but I've never liked what Microsoft brings to the table. I've always hated them. So it's kind of, I'm a very biased individual.
Luckily, I kind of go into these things in a vacuum. I don't read NeoGAF or anything. So I usually my first impressions are my own. So actually,
this is why suck at Final Fantasy Tactics.
That's probably literally true. But actually, when I was watching the first Xbox One press conference, I was actually, you know, kind of impressed. Like, I knew that there wasn't going to be any games in there. It's a slick interface, you know, change between TV, whatever. That's fine. It's nice. But I thought they were going to – and, you know, Titanfall's a good-looking game. I thought at E3 they were going to come – they were going to really, like rock my socks off. I thought that's the reason why they – weren't talking about games yet. They really wanted to make an impact. And maybe it was just drowned out by the DRM fight, but they really didn't. And Titanfall looks cool. But what else is there?
Yeah, I agree. I've
no,
got
there
to say,
there
I was...
is a lot of other cool stuff. There's Quantum Break. There's
but isn't
Halo,
that on
of
PS4?
Course. Nope.
No, Quantum Break is Remedy. That's Xbox exclusive.
There's a lot of exclusive games for the Xbox One shown. There were not a lot of exclusive games for the PlayStation 4 shown.
Well, then that's a pretty incredible thing then, because I guess it's true that all the noise surrounding this DRM thing really did drown out the rest of it.
Well, here's my question. What were the Xbox One exclusives? You had Forza, mm-hmm. which is important. Titanfall.
Yep.
Sunset Overdrive.
Yes.
Below.
Yep.
Which is indie, although PlayStation jumped them on indies. What else was there?
Well,
D4.
Quantum Break, D4.
Quantum Break. Yes. That's it, right?
Yeah. There may be one or two.
Okay.
Killer Instinct, Rise. Minecraft.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I'm super looking forward to Killer Instinct?
Yes, it is bad.
It's
Crimson
free to play,
Dragon,
you know,
Dead Rising 3.
Oh yeah, that looked, I still think that looked terrible.
Whatever game is coming from Black Tusk Studios. Yeah,
that's true.
And that's it.
Okay, and Sony had like five or six big ones.
I mean, yeah, I mean, not including the things that were came out that were brought out for the indie demo. You had
Infamous.
You had Infamous Second Son, you had Knack, you had
1886.
Yeah, The Order,
Drive Club,
and Killzone. Something or another.
Is that all?
Has anyone ever played a Killzone game?
Yeah, I do. I actually like them.
Oh, really?
Should
I play them?
I like them like I like Tokyo Drift. Like, they're really dumb, and I kind of like them for how dumb they are. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not innovative. They're not real great, but it's just kind of a dumb shooter to get behind, and if you... Mm-hmm. Really, you can really get into some of the stupider parts of it, and then there's also a lot of garbage in there too. Mm-hmm. Like for example, Killzone 2, I cheesed the entire game by not shooting anybody and just running around with a knife, and the AI didn't know how to react. So I had a great time doing that.
That is incredible.
I was gonna say I realized that during the conference I thought 15 was PS4 exclusive, but it wasn't. They revealed that like a day later.
15?
FF15.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, no, not yeah, exclusive.
So, yeah,
neither is Kingdom Hearts. 14. Neither is Metal Gear. Whatever.
14 is exclusive.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So
I am
that's
a
actually true. They
born.
Have more exclusives. And I was gonna say, I was actually also somewhat wowed by their initial unveiling. I really liked the snap feature. I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, I think – so one of the things that Jeff and I have spoken about in the past is that with the PlayStation consoles, we kind of bank on that Japan connection. We want that Japan connection. We and, you know, it's kind of sad that we're not really getting all that, you know. It hasn't really worked out that way this console generation. We're getting some Tails games.
You're talking PS3, you're not getting that Japan connection?
Yeah.
Where are you getting it?
I think you're
getting it as best you can.
Yeah. Japan is just really weak. But yeah, I think you're right, Jamie. Like, you don't – that well is drying up.
Right. Mm. As Phil Fish said, you know, Japanese video games suck.
Yeah, but like Ni No Kuni, you know, we got that.
Yeah. I like Ni No Kuni, but
like
I'm also an idiot.
I'm talking about like weird shit that I don't even know exists. Like,
no,
you're
right. Like Tokyo Jungle is on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that's a cool game. Have you played that, Jamie?
I didn't know it existed until just now.
You would
love it.
Play it. That is 100% up your alley.
It's a like ruined world. It's like a post-apocalyptic Tokyo.
You're a Pomeranian.
You play as different animals.
Oh, you did tell me about this.
Including
it's a hilarious game.
Eventually through the DLC, a Japanese salaryman.
What?
Really? I didn't get that.
I don't know if it came to America, but that was a thing that was in that game.
Wait, I have not played as the salary man.
That was something that came out in Japan. I don't know if it made it to the U.S.
Oh,
I
hope it does.
I'm buying PlayStation Plus right now. Just because that game exists.
You should get it.
You should get PlayStation Plus.
To rope it back in here for a second. So PlayStation Plus is required for playing PlayStation 4 games online. Mm-hmm. Now, with this rescinded policy, do you believe that there will be the reemergence of a silver account? Like, now that the Xbox One does not require online, do you think that they will sell just a system that, well, no, shit, I guess that's no, because they've said that it requires an initial sign in to create or to activate the system and create your account. So
yeah, I
guess
I think they
gold is the standard. Boom, there's my one.
Yeah, I think that they're not going to change that at all. And I think that Sony was clever because they brought out PlayStation Plus and they gave you like free games, and they managed to make it so that something that every Sony gamer was like bitching about and saying they would never accept now sounds good, because PlayStation Plus has been so awesome.
Right. Yeah. PlayStation Plus. I don't have I have no problem playing from PlayStation Plus. Like, it is a non-issue. And if that gets if multiplayer gets bundled in with that, then fuck it, so be
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I just bought
it. I'm already paying for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we'll get servers, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
They haven't said.
Yeah. They haven't said. Yeah.
Server game.
Oh God. That would bite them in the ass if they didn't.
No, but they have said, they have went on record, and was it Robert Rhodes, something like that. VP
Scott Rhodes.
Yes. Thank you. Has gone on record and said that, you know, there will be no third party third party passes that you
online
have
passes.
To pay to get online. Like, so
if
you're paying for one service through Sony, you shouldn't have to pay another company to get the online features. So, I mean, you would assume that means that Sony's going to do their own hosting of stuff.
I think this is another example of not assuming anything.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the smart move would be to have Sony do the hosting. And now Sony is all about the smart moves.
Yeah, so. for now. But, I mean, they could get stupid soon.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm really hoping, though, that they'll keep Shuhei Yoshida going, and they'll keep Adam Boys. I feel like they're bringing in the younger people, and hopefully that'll be good for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whatever caused that change, at least on stage, they put some good faces to the new Sony.
Yeah.
Who's that fat guy?
That's Adam Boys.
Adam Boys.
Jack. He's lovable. I don't know whichever one.
He made a giant enemy crab joke.
Yeah. He did.
He's my hero.
Adam Boys is great. Go listen to old 2009, 2010 Giant Bombs, and he is freaking hilarious.
Was he a journalist?
He was a PR dude for Capcom.
Oh, okay.
And Johnny Vignacchi were friends and kind of in the PR scene together, and they just have some of the most amazing stories you could ever hear.
That's probably really smart to pick up PR people who actually know how to listen to what we're saying, you know?
I don't know. I mean, Jeff, you heard the same thing I heard from Adam Boys, where he just kind of said, I'm not the one man who's steering the ship. Just because I'm here and I did this and I'm part of this change doesn't mean that I affected this change.
Yeah, although it sounded like they listened to him, which was like the big change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to think of those. Was he a community manager or something? He strikes me as someone like that.
No, he actually was. He was just PR for Capcom. He quit Capcom, went and made his own PR firm, essentially.
Yeah. I think his big benefit is he's just a clearly passionate dude. And hopefully they'll keep someone like him. I'm a little worried because I'm reminded of Sven Christensen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Street Fighter 4 was coming out, he was the face of Capcom for a while, and he was everyone loved him and was Capcom can do no wrong now. It could be, and now he's just this figurehead. He has no power. It's very clear. Capcom is making one mistake after another. He has to apologize.
That's
on
an entirely different podcast. Is what is wrong with Capcom?
But it's kind of, I'm thinking if Sony does the same thing, and you're right, Adam Boys has no real power. He's this guy that everyone likes right now, but just because he's likable doesn't mean that Sony's going to do all the right shit.
Well, I think, don't pin it just on anything. I would say, look at the direction that Sony is taking, where they're essentially saying they're doing a mea culpa. It's we messed up in the past. We've been gone for a while, guys. Hey, we're back. We're the Sony you knew and loved, and we're here for you gamers. And this is what the new Sony is. It's a less shitty 2005, 2006 Microsoft press conference where they're Jay Allard sitting on a stage rapping with you. It's that sort of personal character connection where hey, this is not just about kind of coked out looking dudes talking about numbers on the stage. This is real people who seem to care about this stuff and have personality.
Changes permeate beyond people who actually watch those press conferences. Talk to plenty of people who aren't as into it as we are, but get that sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sony has created a new culture for their product where we're for gamers. We listen to you. We're back. We're the Crash Bandicoot guys. Remember us? That sort of a thing. Now your fridge can make your PlayStation stronger.
Yeah. Oh, I was also going to say, both the Xbox One and the PS4 have been on Jimmy Fallon. And notably, Jimmy Fallon, when the PS4 was on, he was talking about like the negatives about the Xbox One. And this is just this guy who like kind of likes games. But he was like, oh, I heard you can't play used games on it. Like, I heard, you know, all this stuff. So clearly this stuff is going beyond just, like, the insular, you know, NeoGAF community or whatever. Right. Like, it's the out Reddits. There. Like, people, yeah, people know about it.
And, of course, right when I'm loving Sony as much as I possibly can, I download a new update on my PlayStation, and my fucking fan starts going bonkers.
Oh, no.
When I'm playing... The Last of Us, and now I'm afraid to turn it on.
Oh, see, that's an issue. I read about that online. That's an issue,
Jamie,
with launch hardware.
Here's my solution to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go.
No. I've had it since, like, Jeff, when did we buy ours? Like, 2007?
I bought mine used, like, a couple years late.
You have a launch, like, 60 gig, backwards compatible.
No, I
that's,
don't.
That's what I had.
I have a fatty. But it's not a launch. It's a 40 gig, like, first revision.
So, dude, can you play old games on it?
No.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go. I agree.
But this is the problem. Have you heard about this problem, Griffin? It's this firmware update. It's 4.45. No. People are downloading it, and it's bricking.
I've had three PlayStation 3s die.
And I'm not having that problem?
When I bought my first PS3... That week I played it, it died.
Oh my god! Did you get a new one though?
Yeah, it sent back right away. I got a new one. They pried the disc off it, gave me a new thing. It was fantastic. You know, in like 2 years, it died because it overheated, and then it got fixed, and then another 2 years later, it died because it overheated. Like,
here's the thing: the problem you're having, Jamie, is a problem. I read about it online with launch. Well, like PS fatties. If they're playing Last of Us, it makes the fans go really hard.
Yeah.
And people have had the game lock up and quit out and force them to restart the console. So it's definitely not the firmware issue. Because the firmware issue only affects hard drives over 500 gigs. And you have 320, right?
Yes, 320.
Yeah, so you're fine. But the problem you're having is with The Last of Us specifically. So you should listen to Griffin and let it go.
Yeah, no, also...
But I don't have $300.
No. Also, just let it go.
Yeah. See if it doesn't crash.
Yeah. For sure. So here's the really cool thing, too, is like when my console crashed in January of this year, and I went to send it in to get it repaired through Sony, they were like, okay, this is what the email said to me. It was like, hey, do you want to repair this for $130 or do you want to get a PlayStation 3 Slim for $95? And I was like, oh, like both have great merits, but I ended up choosing the wrong thing. So whatever.
Yeah.
I kept my 60, baby. Staying alive.
I sold my 60. I sold it on Craigslist.
My 60 now has a 250 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. So is that going to be the only problem? If it's just the fan, then that's fine. But you said something about that crashing? Ugh.
No, yeah. just let it go.
It happened with Uncharted 3 as well, apparently. Because Naughty Dog, they stream a lot of content off the disc. They have some kind of special streaming algorithm for their games. And I know they had a problem with them running on launch hardware to begin with, or just on fatties. And I know the problem existed in Uncharted 3 and was not corrected. So you may have the problem, you may not. If your console is still running, then just keep playing.
Here's the thing, too, is the PS3 has a diversity of fan noises. Like, you've got the low end, just I'm on, which is like the furnace white noise. Like, it's present. You know it's on. A fan is going. Then you've got like the, hey, you're playing a game, which is like crank it up to level 2. And then it's like, okay, Texan game, crank it up to level 7. And then it's like, you have the, oh my fucking God, what the hell is happening? Where it sounds like there's a jet plane taking off in your living room. And
that's what I have. The
is
jet
it
plane.
Okay? Do you, is it really a jet plane?
It's really a jet plane. When I first heard it, I literally stood up and looked behind my TV
how
because I was like, is there a small beast nestling because in the
because
wires
I think it can go one more. I think you're okay. Like it can. I think it has another gear in it.
Well, yeah.
I was just gonna say, so I googled the problem, right? And of course I get just this huge myriad of solutions. Someone's like,
Watch my video about how to change
the thermal paste on your fan on your PS3. I'm like, okay, yeah. I could do that. I have a little experience with that.
And then there are other people
that are like, what?
Turn it upside down and pray to the Buddhas.
That's most of the answers. People are like, you take a 1/4-inch anodized steel plate, put it underneath the PlayStation 4, make sure the PlayStation 4 has at least 6 inches of space on every side, like every 4 hours, tilt the PlayStation 4 at a 45-degree angle. Or is it three? Never mind.
Yeah, I would just hope. I mean, you have a good chance of it not locking up.
Never done this. It didn't do this in Uncharted 3.
This is something that has been reported as recently as today for The Last of Us. So, yeah.
God.
It sucks. But that game's awesome.
So how much is it? So they're still $300, right? They're $300.
Either $250 or $270.
If I was going to get a new one, yeah.
Why do you want to get a new one?
Well, what would you suggest? How do people compare the...
Just let it go.
How do people compare the slidey one with the not slidey one?
Well,
I like the slidey one better, but I'm in the minority.
If you're Robinson Crusoe, like fucking Jeff over here, like you want the slidey trapdoor.
Because it's more reliable. People don't understand that front loaders are not a good thing.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, yeah. Like, if you could spin the disc by finger, that would be a better way for it to work, too.
Shut your mouth.
A bicycle, like a treadmill, you have to ride it to spin the disc.
Oh my god! Hold on, I'm checking prices for you.
Go,
Amy.
Go with whatever. Like it really doesn't matter. Like when I say let it go, I mean let it go because let your system. If it's gonna burn itself out, let it burn itself out. You can the replacement programs that Sony has are great. Like you will spend $150 at the most to get what you had before, and you can spend less to get a better thing than what you had before.
So wait, so I just call Sony and I'm like, hey, my system burned out.
No, you wrap your system in a towel and you turn it upside down and you play The Last of Us, and then
while
when you stack it, you push a bunch of gerbils in there, and then you play The Last of Us.
I have two guinea pigs. I can sacrifice
that's
them
a start.
To Sony.
You're
and then
pigs? What the
hell?
Yeah,
we have two guinea pigs now. They're pretty cute.
Do you use them in the bedroom?
I only use them in the bedroom for me. Oh man.
Don't fight it. Like let it go, cuz there are things in place to help you out. Don't stress about the only thing that sucks. Here's my one suggestion. Go get PlayStation Plus, upload any save that you actually care about to the cloud immediately, and then go burn the fuck out of your system and replace it for $100 through their
service.
This
is a wise
service.
Man. Yeah,
well,
you should listen to him.
Can't I just take my hard drive out?
No, you can't. You can't.
Is that going to go?
You can't. You can't.
What?
Because if you send your system into Sony, it needs to have the hard drive that it was manufactured with in it. And then if you put a new hard drive into any PlayStation 3, to boot that PlayStation, you need to format that hard drive.
But there's a way to transfer it, because I did it when
there
I got
is,
my Slim.
But you need to have two fully functional PlayStation 3s.
Yes.
Okay. I have...
Or at least... Foresight and a fully functional PS3.
I don't even know where my 40 gig drive is. I might not have it anymore.
Are you sure he needs it, Griffin?
Yes. Yes. For the replacement, you do. Yes.
I have a drive in it, but it's not the drive.
You need the original drive.
You can probably buy it aftermarket.
You might be able to. Cheap. Yeah.
It's like a shitty 3600 RPM drive. I'm sure you can buy it somewhere.
It's 3600?
Maybe it's 54. I think it's 36, though.
I think it's 54. It's 36?
Dude, the,
that's
the,
like that's like 1992.
Dude, the Blu-ray read speed is like, it's 1x on the originals, I think.
How many X's do you want?
So, no, the disk read speed is always going to be slower than a hard drive, even a shitty hard drive.
Interesting.
Anyway.
All right.
Anyway, for sure, I think we should put a bow on this one, guys. This has been fantastic. Any last words before we depart?
I feel like I wanted to say so much.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Another 2 hours?
No, let's do it. No.
We were at 1 hour and 40 minutes. I think that's pretty good for now.
All right.
I just want to say that everyone should be playing that game that I like, Fire Emblem. Great game. Everyone should play it forever.
Jeff,
I agree.
Okay. Yep. Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem. I'm going down to the Fire Emblem. Gonna get me a loose meat sandwich. Jamie, oh Jeff, God. It's been fantastic to chat with you. We'll see you guys in the future. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Yay.